to you people. It is a Starship Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
They've released the final season trailer for Game of Thrones. Did you see it? I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep again after seeing this. I just watching Cersei, the evil look on Cersei's face. I can't imagine what forced that look.
That was the look you gave John Williams a few minutes ago, actually.
Did I give him a look? Yeah, you did.
You gave him the, hey, and or, it was the one you gave him when you were talking about Willie Wilson.
Oh.
Yeah. You're going to give Willie Wilson that look, too.
No, I don't give Willie that look.
Yes, you are.
Willie comes in, he gets love here in this studio.
So,
plays music for us at Christmas times. Talented man.
We'll see if Cersei, we'll see what she ends up, who wins. Yeah, I kind of think, you know, given the way that Hollywood tends to portray these things, that good will triumph over evil.
You hope for that. In these times,
yeah,
you're not quite sure.
That is a good point.
One of them has dragons, though, and I'm kind of rooting for her. But it sort of feels they're so good at this now. And then people analyze them frame by frame, and you just wonder, well, what's going to happen?
You know what I started doing? I started going back through, you know, like in this binge world. And this is a crazy thing. All I find myself doing now. This happened to my dad at some point, so I'm worried about this. I'm only watching sports and news, and now I'm now he would read books. Me, I am now just binging premium television shows.
There's so much good content out there, and then all your friends will tell you about something new, and you're like, "Oh wow, that is good too. That is great." But you can still catch up on Game of Thrones. Some people have really you just started it or, you know, are just kind of catching up. But there's time.
Plus, if you've never seen an episode, you feel like you know so much about it because anybody who watches Game of Thrones tells you that they watch Game of Thrones. And they give you every
conversation.
And now it's like embedded into pop culture.
All
there's
right.
commercials that are mixed with Game of Thrones. Everywhere you go, there's a Game of Thrones
That's
poster
true.
Somewhere.
Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I saw when Game of Thrones first came out. I thought, all right, well, this is a new thing because it was right around the end of Mad Men, right? So Game of Thrones coming out, and you're like, all right, I'll watch it, and I'll see if I want to get involved in this. And I watched, like, the first one, and I was like, I don't know. I'm not really into, like, Middle Ages fantasy and stuff like that. I wasn't a Dungeons & Dragons kind of guy. But I didn't, but there was wild sex, and they, you know, they had to do that in the premiere. But it was like in a dungeon. It was weird. There was kids and
there's brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know how
with each other.
The Mad King. I don't know how I feel about any of this. And I thought, nah, I'm not going to do it. And then like 2 years later, I was the idiot for not getting involved in it. Then I binged it and I finally got, you know, got going on it. And even the music gets me going.
See, just hearing that gets me excited about the season.
It is really. And people say it's the best one of all.
They say it's the longest battle scene they've ever shot. And they've had some battle scenes that are pretty compelling.
That's true.
Pretty frightening.
But I need to get into this because I was the same way as you were, Ro. I watched the first two episodes.
And then you never gave it a chance after that?
No, there's fun size sex and stuff in the first one. You're like, I don't know what's going on here.
Peter Dinklage?
Yeah. But then it's like all of a sudden it takes off and the politics of it and the intrigue of it and the acting is amazing they direct it beautifully.
Oh,
special
the
effects.
Cinematography.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Phenomenal.
How many seasons now? If I got to start binging this,
six.
This is six.
Seven. This will be eight. Eight. This is the eighth.
Eight. This is eighth. The eighth. Right.
This is the eighth and five. Well, there were two like halvesy seasons.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of extended.
Breaking
season.
Bad did that.
Yeah. So
and this that's is the eighth and final.
So between Breaking Bad, The Sopranos, Mad Men.
See, those are my top
this,
three.
You know, it's very hard. The Walking Dead. It's very hard to find. You know, the things that. There's, you know, we're now breaking down into tribes about this. I think the one thing we can all agree on, though, is that there's something about this particular series. The whole thing is once you, even if you don't love the genre, you'll fall in love with the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And the writing.
Oh yeah.
I got to get into this.
Yeah.
You do. There's still time
because considering like where it's at. The status of the show, as you said, Anna, how much talent there is in quality content and TV, that this show clearly reigns supreme over everything else.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
You know, and considering how many shows there are and how psyched people get for this still, so I feel like I've fallen behind. I need to binge this.
Yeah.
I feel like a nobody not watching this show.
Yeah, no, I think you kind of do.
I'm not cool because I could care less about it.
You are really...
I'm trying to be a team player, Kim.
Nice job,
Kim. Sorry, I tried.
So did
I. My kids were into it. I tried, and I'm like, you know what? Forget it. It's just not my thing.
I'd revisit
it. This is us.
I'm gonna revisit it.
I would. This is us.
You're just like a bunch of people walking into a room and no dialogue, just crying. Yep. And it's just a shot of one person crying, and then the other person looks at them, starts crying because they're crying.
It's very emotional.
Every episode ends with somebody crying, and there's a dramatic ending.
Then something's on fire, and you're not sure why it is. Are they in the house? Are they not in the house? I don't know. And then everybody's standing around looking at the burning house, crying. I don't understand any of it.
And I'm sitting in my house crying.
Right, you're crying. There's some good. Oh my God, there's some good cry moments in Game of Thrones because you know Game of Thrones got this reputation for killing people out of nowhere. All of a sudden,
horribly brutal way, like ways you could never even imagine.
Right, but these were like important characters. Like you're like, oh, this character's going to be there forever
for sure.
And then the next thing you know, gone.
When you got attached to him. Like, I like this one. I want to follow this one's, like, arc, his story arc.
Was that a sniper? A Russian sniper?
Back then in this fantasy world of Game of Thrones.
They kind of almost do, yeah. But the next thing you know, they got somebody burning at a stake or, something, like a head lopping off. I mean, the Red Wedding is the most famous of the things. All of a sudden, you had all these people in there, and all I could figure was, in Hollywood math, these people must have had big contracts that were about to come due, and they kill them all at a wedding. It was really something. Oh, and they do things to people in this. I mean, I'm telling you. You know, they say, I'm going to go all medieval on your ass. That's what they mean.
Now you understand when you watch it, if you didn't know already. Ooh.
Okay, I'm sold.
All right.
It's good.
Get on it.
Yeah, it's
Kim,
something.
Give it another chance.
Yeah. No, it's good.
I just need somebody's HBO login and password.
I'll take another, recommendation.
It's good. It's really good. Right. And have you seen The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yes.
That's up your alley.
That I love.
That one I got to get into.
Yeah, because I think that is in sort of the genre of beautifully done, interesting, but it's a funnier kind of a... And
it's fantastic.
Russian Doll.
I keep hearing
Russian
from many, many friends.
Doll.
Check that one out.
Russian. You can get through it in a night because it's half hour episodes. There's 8 of them. Amy Poehler's behind it, although she's not in it, and it's not the kind of stuff she normally does. It is brilliant.
Okay, gotta watch that.
Brilliant.
That's on my list.
Yeah. There's also some fun size sex in that one too. All right, we'll get back. Yeah, we'll get back to all of that. But first, let's check in with Kim, who hates Game of Thrones. What's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump heading to Alabama to see tornado damage for himself.
Then there's this. It's a backcourt battle as the Bulls look to polish off the Pacers in Indianapolis. Bulls-Pacers tonight at 6 on WGN-TV Sports.
All right. Ben Bradley is joining us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Good afternoon.
Oh,
hi, Ben.
Afternoon to you,
Good
too,
afternoon.
Ben.
We liked your prison letters that you shared with us yesterday, just as proof that you do, in fact, get prison mail. And wow. The reaction.
Incredible handwriting those inmates have.
Yeah.
There must be
great,
a class in handwriting.
Why not?
It's a dying thing, you know? Not a lot of kids can do that these days.
No. I guess when you don't have access to typewriters, you may throw them at somebody.
Well, or they also you could take out each arm of the typewriter and use it as a shiv. And
where did you learn that?
Escape at Dannemora.
Oh, okay.
If you watch that. There's two things that you can learn at Escape at Dannemora.
Uh-huh. What's the other thing?
I can't say.
Oh.
Because
I don't want to know now.
There's kind of fun size sex in that one, too.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
So the theme for today.
Oh.
Kevin, you in? You got to watch that.
I got to be honest. No. Escape at Dannemora, that is absolutely, we're talking about binge-worthy television,
yes.
Ben. That is absolutely an acquired taste. You have to be ready for it. It is not like you're going to go in and watch it and go, well, I'll just sit back and escape. Mm-hmm. Because although they're escaping, it's really dark.
Well, I was going to say, if we watch it, will we learn more about you and your darkness?
No.
Why did Rokan like this?
It's even too dark for me. But Bonnie Hunt, our dear friend, is in it.
Okay.
And she is great in it. She got a nomination for it.
Huh.
Or did she win? She got something. She got a Golden Globe or something for it, or an Emmy.
One of those things.
Yeah.
A little bit of hardware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just got to say that,
Need a minute?
Yeah, there's some moments in there.
Your mind's going weird.
Quite honestly, him for a minute.
Quite honestly,
not good.
There is a sex scene where you think, you know what? I don't want to have sex again.
Was this the one you referred to as fun size?
Yeah, I'm just referring to that.
For that?
Well, I'm I'm using that for anything Peter Dinklage is involved in. But yeah. that's not really what happens in this mm-hmm. one. This one is just, it's like, oh, God. Patricia Arquette won the Emmy and the Golden Globe based on one move in one scene. Let's
really?
Just put it that way.
Just between a man
and a woman.
And
didn't she go on to star in a bunch of Juul commercials?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't see the comparison there.
I just, every, the people have seen it. They know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, God. All right.
And don't forget, tomatoes are on sale.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. I can't get it out of my head now. Can't get it out. All right, what do you got coming up on the news?
Well, we're covering a bunch of stuff. The head of the zoning committee once again being protested, the target of people demonstrating, saying that the Lincoln Yards project should be delayed until the next mayor takes office. Rahm Emanuel has suggested that he wants it done before he leaves office in May, because, of course, there's some questions about just how committed Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot are to that huge project on the north side. And speaking of the two mayoral candidates, there's currently a little flap over debates, the debate over the debate. You always have to love that warm up to it, as we only have about 4 weeks. The election's four weeks
from today.
Yeah. And, you know, there was that poll that came out. It was a small poll, just 400 people surveyed, that had Lori Lightfoot up by a huge margin, 58 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
But Politico Illinois, I think, had a great ward-by-ward breakdown that should probably concern Tony Preckwinkle. Lightfoot bested Preckwinkle in 27 of 50 wards. But, of course, it matters just how vote-heavy those wards are, as Willie Wilson learned the hard way, because he captured more than a dozen wards and still didn't make it into the runoff. But Politico points out Lightfoot also led Preckwinkle in wards where runoffs for aldermen will take place. There's, I don't know, 14 or so of those. And those races, of course, tend to generate a lot more excitement. So if you look at kind of places where we might see a higher turnout, Politico's analysis of it suggests that's another thing that might favor Lori Lightfoot.
I'd say it's almost all the reporting on this so far, and the speculation, as Michael Jordan, worth more now than Jerry Reinsdorf, would once say, that there is, it's a tough climb now for Tony Preckwinkle.
Well, but let's not forget what the speculation, to use your pronunciation, had about Bill Daley, right? And that's the thing. When you have a voter turnout of 30,
but we've already 30, had a
30,
test
35%.
In this one, though. We've already had a test. We've already seen what can happen here.
But we've also seen what can happen when we assume a segment of the electorate is excited.
I know this one. I know.
Right?
I know this one.
What's the answer to that one?
Ask out of you and me.
Well, I was going to say ask Amara Enya. You know, she thought all the young people were getting excited. The Chance and Kanye were supporting her.
They didn't show up.
Yeah.
No, they were telling us that. But those of us who were like, you know, to look at this stuff and are smart, we know.
Yeah, but in November they did turn out, and then they didn't really turn out for this election. So by
who reliably turns out? The unions.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And
old people.
The Chicago Teachers Union.
Yeah.
SEIU. They back Tony Preckwinkle.
They do.
Although it was bad weather, so the old people were not quite as cold.
I think they like to be referred to by that voting block, too.
I mean, no, listen, let me tell you something. I'm approaching. I totally
understand. Are you also the one who knocks grandma over so you can get inside to vote?
At the Juul, because tomatoes are on sale.
Yeah.
Get away from my tomatoes, old people.
It's exactly.
That's what you say, right,
Ro? That's exactly what I say. I don't think anybody was really taking seriously this idea, and that's why Democrats have to be very careful, because young people don't vote. They just don't. They say they will. They go on Instagram and
young people turned out for Barack Obama.
In November, we saw a surge in millennials coming out to vote.
But still, what was the percentage, though, of the vote?
It was huge.
But not comparable to the other voting
The other voting blocks.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a
surge of voters, period.
Well, wait.
Right. So it's a pretty...
Chicago millennials outpaced the baby boomers at the ballot box November 2018. So there you go.
And for those of you joining us on CLTV, I apologize. I apparently have looked like a smurf during this entire broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Your shirt kind of matches your face.
Well, yeah, they didn't
better.
They didn't turn the light on.
All the lights are on. I think it's a camera issue.
Oh.
So please...
Can you sing La 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 La, the end of that smurf song?
How does it go, Anna?
Yeah, well,
I can't sing. I don't. La, 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 there you go.
All right, people, this is a television hoping, and radio broadcast.
We're hoping for a GoFundMe to get us a new camera here at the WGN Multiplex.
Somebody didn't do white balance, which apparently is also what happened to Bill Daly. All right, thank you very much. Wow. Appreciate it. Gotta go. Phone's ringing,
Bye, Ben.
Go get it. Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes.
What do you think of Bob Mueller?
I think Bob Mueller is an American hero. I think Bob Mueller is a guy that, even though he came from an arguably privileged background, has a backbone of steel. He walked into a firefight in Vietnam to pull out one of his injured colleagues and was appropriately honored for that. I've known him for 30 years as a prosecutor and a friend, and I think the world of Bob Mueller.
That's one of the president's former attorneys.
Ty Cobb. You heard it.
Yeah. I don't know how that goes. I don't know. What do you think the president does in a moment like that? You know what that is? That's total bub. Whoop!
He uses that word lately. Let's see if he tweeted lately.
Amy Stoddard joins us as she does weekly, and we appreciate every second that she can spend with us because she's so in demand on all the cable news channels where she, as I pointed out many times before, she is like Switzerland. She's allowed on all of them,
mm-hmm.
despite the fact they're all fighting with each other now and pointing the finger and saying, it's your fault this is happening at each other.
Sure.
They allow that she shall lead us. She's kind of like the Pope. She's the only hope that humanity has. Anyway, that's laughable.
You guys are always good for a laugh. Yeah, it really helps me.
God, I hope so. All right, so let's talk about the president today reacting to yesterday's shotgun approach by Congress. They're investigating everything, right? They've sent out a list of all the people that are investigating. It's like a scroll. It has to go, when you watch it on television, and it's so many names, it takes 30 seconds for them to go through everything that they're going to be doing. And, there is some backlash to that. There is a reality. You know, Bill Clinton's approval ratings went up when the House started impeaching him. The president seems to be enjoying a little bit of a pressure bump, if you will, for the last couple of weeks as well. That, there's so much pressure on him and the economy is still growing and the stock market is up and, there's blue skies, a little cold, but blue skies. You wonder, could Democrats overplay their hand here?
Well, they can always overplay their hand, for certain. I would have probably done 10 at a time instead of 81, but whatever, the outcome will either justify the means or it won't. And that's the decision that they have to make in terms of, and they have lawyers advising them about how they need to go after a whole landscape of information. And I guess they, after much deliberation, decided to get going all at once. If the truth is murky and there are not crimes by the principals in the West Wing, the president, his daughter, his son-in-law, the three of them are really running the country, or his sons who are running a company that he's never really separated from. And, we know that the emoluments violations, possible emoluments violations are part of this very broad probe, then there's going to be a problem for the Democrats. But if you look at the Quinnipiac polling today that shows that 2/3 of the country believe the president entered office as a criminal who committed crimes before he was president, and 45% of the country believes he's committed crimes in office, which means that people who support him believe he committed crimes in office.
But that's okay.
That's just one poll, but hey. If the Democrats continue to turn up devastating stuff, it will be a real problem for Republicans running for office if they choose to continue to defend the president next year. If, like I said, it's murky and muddied and, they have bad hearings and they look like crazy people, then that's going to be a problem for the Democrats.
If there is that much to go after, though, why not be more targeted, focusing on one thing if you're the Democrats, or is the strategy just throw as many things up against the wall and see what sticks? Do they not know exactly what they're going after? They just want to go down as many paths as possible?
Well, I'm not privy to the strategy behind their thinking, and they've been pretty open about some things, but not about everything. One thing they've been open about is the fact that they don't believe that impeachment is a worthy course. But what they're open about is they believe that there are things being investigated by the Mueller team, which, you know, that investigation, as we've spoken about for years now together, is supposed to come to a close at some point. But when it does, we're not sure what we'll know about everything. And so, you know, whether or not, you know, the public should learn about emoluments violations and things that don't have anything to do with Russia, but are part of the power-sharing agreement that was formed under our founders, that, you know, Congress would be the check on the executive and provide oversight of the executive. So they're looking after things that are definitely worthy of investigation that have nothing to do with the Mueller probe. Some of those things could overlap with what's being investigated in New York by the Southern District prosecutors. We'll learn that later. We don't know when we're going to learn it and what we're going to learn. But if the president committed financial crimes in pursuit of the office, or years ago in the 90s that made him beholden to a foreign government that helped him win the office, if Jared Kushner has made so many errors that make him so blackmailable or vulnerable as some kind of threat to our security that he could not receive a security clearance because the experts deemed that it was not wise. And then he got one from his father-in-law anyway, which is legal.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are trying to get at the underlying questions. That is worthy of investigation, the connection to the Saudi kingdom. There's a lot that have nothing to do with collusion that is fertile ground for investigation. Again, the way they go about it, that could mess them up. But is the stuff they're looking into crazy? Absolutely not.
The insurance fraud piece is interesting because it was AOC who was able to ask that during the Michael Cohen hearings. And she asked Michael Cohen specifically, do you know that Donald Trump inflated the value of his properties for insurance purposes, which would be insurance fraud? And yeah. And he said, yes, he did. Now, today, there has now been a subpoena let looking into that. By a law enforcement organization, not by the House. So the question is, now they gave AOC that question to ask. And you know how they do, like, as we all know, the leadership in a hearing like that, in a committee hearing, leadership sits down, they know what the staff comes up with, all the questions they're going to ask, and they divvy them up. And they gave her one of the least sexy but most consequential questions mm-hmm. here that will end up going down in the record. If he somehow gets in trouble for the insurance fraud piece, she's going to get the credit.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because that is what the leadership does, and it's very smart, and she's been behaving like a child, and that was her best moment yet. So they were very savvy to have her, you know, really prepared and with the most targeted and substantive topics to question Cohen on. That was just very shrewd on their part. But what we learned from the Michael Cohen hearing is that there's a lot. I mean, they're really looking at this like the Southern District of New York investigation, which, you know, he dropped the headline of his testimony was that there is one that he is involved in that may actually reduce his sentences. And that you know, has to do with their conversation 2 months after the raid. It could be about evidence, it could be a pardon. We just, you know, it could be many things. But that was new, and that was huge. But also that the SDNY investigation is beginning to look like a RICO probe where, you know, there's all these layers of insurance fraud, bank fraud, tax fraud, all kinds of things. And as you saw, Republicans had a really great day talking about how Michael Cohen's a liar. They never pushed back on any of the allegations that he's made or anything about the campaign finance violations. But if they bring in Alan Weisselberg or anyone to talk about potential insurance fraud, you know, Alan Weisselberg, I'm sorry, is the CFO of the Trump Organization and really did all the money transactions and knows more than Michael Cohen does. If they bring him in, he has not lied to Congress, so they can't spend 7 hours telling him he's a liar.
Well, right, but he's also not.
Things really tough.
But he's also, his cooperation agreement with the special prosecutor, Alan Weisselberg, is not germane to anything other than Michael Cohen at this point. They'd have to compel him to show up and talk about other stuff by throwing something up that he wouldn't be happy about. And I just don't know what that's going to be. Can I ask about Fox News? I know you spend a lot of time with Fox News, and I see on Brett Baer's show, and Brett's a really good friend of mine. I love him, and I have the ultimate respect for him as a journalist. I think he's great. And there's a lot of people at Fox who are very, very, very solid journalists. But it seems to me that what we have here is we have the Fox talk block at night and some of the other reporters and some of the other shows along the way during the day that are doing all the cleanup in aisle five. And they are, regardless of how they would treat other leaders, presidents, past presidents, Republicans or Democrats, on these issues, they're finding a way either to repoint to redirect the point of the story, or not cover some of these stories, or claim that these stories that like Michael Cohen, they're taking the position essentially that Michael Cohen, look at this, they're taking the position that the House was taking, liar up there, liar, liar, pants on fire, up there telling these mistruths. And it seems that between Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, the nation is really divided along those lines. Forget about Trump and Hillary and all the rest. It's based on the news you consume, how you feel about this. So when people talk about a sticky 41% of Republicans, or 80% of Republicans, but a sticky 41% of the nation, those are people who are consuming Fox News and like media, Rush, other things like, other Breitbart, things like that, and people are only getting their news from where they want to get their news. And that's really what this is about. Because I'll tell you right now, if Fox News decided, you know what, this guy is a crook, we're out, it would be all over for him.
Well, I think you make several very good points. I do want to, name some names of other Fox anchors who I really respect, whose shows I do, Shep Smith, Dana Perino, Neil Cavuto, and of course Chris Wallace, is really proven his toughness and integrity and grit throughout this trying time, along with Brett Baer. But I want to say that it is interesting. This is one of the things when I give presentations that I always refer to, that people really, if they want to, they have to do sort of a semi-cleanse. That if they want to, they need to download the Smart News app, and just if they want to continue to consume, their siloed news information, they need to have a check on it. And so I go on all three stations. I say the same thing wherever I go. I know they're very different audiences. And when I go on MSNBC and talk about how I think that the Democrats, in a short time, in a primary contest that's expected to last another 14 months, have become a Trump rally punchline because they're anti-airplane, anti-billionaire, anti-prosecutor, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-infanticide, whatever these labels that they have earned, socialist, the whole thing, that they're really, there's no one pushing back in the primary race. And so they're letting Rashida Tlaib and all these people, give a sort of a radical name to the whole party, and it's a sort of a gift to Trump, on and on. And then I get these unbelievable, the pushback, from the MSNBC audience, that I don't understand progressives and I should go to hell and everything. And it is exactly as you say, but people need to understand that, and especially people over the age of 50 and 55, they need to understand they can't get their news from Facebook because it's chosen by an algorithm that's designed to affirm your biases and make us all hate each other more. And it's not a joke. It's a threat to democracy.
Problem.
So this is a topic, near and dear, to my heart, but I will say that they are also on Fox News ingesting a legal analysis from Judge Napolitano, among others, who has told the audience that he saw potential for four felonies committed by the president out of Michael Cohen's testimony. And he has also told them that the president is in the crosshairs of two prosecutors, and it's no small matter, and it's not a witch hunt. So we'll see how, the narrative is spun as things go forward. I think that what the investigations in Congress will end up doing likely I don't know how, to the extent, and I can't give you like a percentage number. You know, I can't say that they'll all bear fruit or they'll all be correctly handled at all. I'm just saying they're looking into what seems like fertile ground for further investigation, and that is likely to make the findings of Mueller or the SDNY more believable if they are sort of drawn out in these storytelling hearings that people can more readily understand.
AB, thank you very much.
Thanks, AB.
Thanks, guys.
You are the voice of reason.
Thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
Actually laughs at that. I don't know why you're... You're my only hope. All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's also part of our hope. She's got the WGN News at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
One of the richest men in the world says he doesn't want to be president.
Coming up in just 2 minutes, Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Hmm.
And then it's on to Mr. Skilling. He will tell us when, in fact, it's going to get warmer. And Jeffrey Bear is going to be with us tonight. There's a really cool, really cool Jeffrey Bear. I love him on Channel 11. All the stuff he does.
Everything.
He's got a really cool, brand new special out about vacations, those like kind of summer beach and Northwoods vacations that families from Chicago area would take in their cars, and it's beautifully done. So he'll talk to you about that. That's all coming your way in the 4 o'clock hour. But first, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Mr. Tom Skilling joins us right now.
Hello, guys. Tom. You know, every time I hear that music, I feel like I'm wandering into a sci-fi movie or something like that.
Where the gummies kicked in? I know the feeling.
Gummy anyone?
I wonder, now, let's talk a little bit about we mentioned this yesterday. I'm going to mention it again. Beautiful sunny day. Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful sunny day.
But windy and cold.
You go outside and you're like, what?
I know.
Well, listen to this. We had an 8-degree temperature increase. So, you know, these readings are coming up. The problem is they're so far below normal that, you know, it just doesn't feel like it. And people ask, what is it with this cold air? You know what happened? We split the polar vortex back in January. A chunk of it came down on the United States. And it enabled snow to cover the ground. That cold air can come down between the mountain ranges. We have geography on this continent that prevents modifying Pacific or oceanic air
from
coming in.
Don't I know it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the cold air runs down between the Appalachians and the Rockies. You lay snow down, and we've been doing that in banner fashion up through the upper Midwest. And future cold air masses, such as those we've seen in the last couple of weeks, keep pouring down on us.
What are we at now for snow total? I like throwing these numbers at you so you can scream at your staff. In terms of snow total for the snow season, would be October to now.
We're over 30 inches. I've got to check.
Don't we average at 33? What do we average?
Yeah, it's about 30, about 36 and a half for a season. So we're done. But
we're at that number, right?
Yes,
you got to be at that number or a little over it because
we're running ahead of average. Yes,
and we haven't really had. We've had a couple kind of moderately larger ones, but we haven't gotten walloped. But it's this ticky tack like this morning, this dusting this morning, where it turned everything into an ice skating rink.
Well, what's important is what's going on north of us, and the fact that we've continued to keep the winds blowing in from the Arctic. Another feature of split, polar vortices is the jet stream gets wavy, and so what that does is, in certain areas where you're on the receiving end of the northwesterly flow on the east side of one of these waves, you keep the cold air coming, and as long as we've got snowpack, as we do literally from our northwest suburbs all the way up to the Arctic tundra and the Arctic Circle, There's nothing, you know, that highly reflective surface keeps the March sun from going to work on these air masses. You send about 90% of the energy from the sun back out into space, and you preserve the cold. Mm. Now, it's not like that. You know, in the UK, they're tallying up all the record highs they've had. Australia's been unseasonably warm. Florida's been unseasonably warm. And the warmth is back in the Southwest again. So not everybody is in on this cold air bonanza. But the pictures we're getting from the upper Midwest on the snow that the folks up there have had is just amazing. It's like they're tunneling into their homes by way of their driveways in some cases.
Yeah.
It's
how just boy, when there's a melt-off is in the next couple of weeks, which
yeah.
there will be.
You're right.
You imagine what that's going to do for the flooding, the river systems and the creeks and all that.
Well, you know, the one thing is, there isn't much snow down south of us. There's been a little disturbance that went down, went through there the last couple of days, but that's a relatively piddling-type snow accumulation. So what's going to happen when we get this big, windy, wet storm to come at us this weekend? Those south winds will not have to contend with snow cover, and so our temps are going to take off. We could be up well into the 40s on Saturday and see rain during the day.
It's going to feel like slower.
Spring. Yeah.
So that's our 40s on Saturday, but it's going to be rainy.
Yes, it will be by and or during the afternoon and evening. Might even throw in a thunderstorm.
Oh, I love a thunderstorm in March.
Then the colder air comes in, but modestly so, Sunday. So we're talking mid to upper 30s after the 50. But,
and then what happens next week?
Well, next week we bounce back into the 40s again by the time you get to Tuesday.
Can we get some 40s and sun? Is that possible?
We'll do a Tuesday.
Get our March 60? I thought we were supposed to, the science shows that in March we get a 60.
Yeah, we have a better than 80% chance of it. Well, you know, there's one model that has a 60. The European Center's model generates a 60 here out in the 2-week range, for a day.
Take that.
Yeah, right. We see no heat waves at this point, but I'll tell you, just going back to normal would feel warm.
Yeah. It would.
And, yeah.
Even the difference between walking in the sun today and walking, getting that wind hitting you when you're not in the sun was just dramatic.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
Well, compare this. Tomorrow will be about 14.5 degrees below normal. A week from tomorrow will be 3.8 degrees above normal. So that means a week from tomorrow, the temperatures here will be close to 20 degrees warmer than what we're expecting tomorrow. So, you know, and then, there are some modest little shots of colder air, but nothing on a par with what we've seen from this or the polar vortex that came down, a couple weeks ago. So we're making progress, and of course the daylight saving time return will be nice. The sun will set Sunday night at 6:51.
6:51.
Isn't that nice?
So by the following week, it'll be 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that will be very, very nice. Because it makes you feel...
Although it does.
There's some cognitive dissonance that kicks in when you've got the sun going down at 7 o'clock at night and it's 20 degrees outside. It freaks my inner chakra out.
Bro, I've got cognitive dissonance all the time. You know, I just... Yeah. It's a chronic problem.
Me too. I think that's why we're in this business.
I know.
Yeah. That's why I've got a sun lamp in my office at home. I just sit in front of it.
Right.
And a carnauba wagon on Fridays.
You just look forward to the Friday.
Yeah. I haven't heard you guys talking about that as much. Am I missing something here?
Well, we've been, one of the things that has happened is we've been on the stream a couple times on Fridays.
Because of the Sox.
Because of the White Sox.
Yeah.
And also because it's some early starts because of the Blackhawks around the East Coast.
Right.
And so we've, in 2017, or I'm sorry, 2019, we have had fewer Canarbles in the first quarter than we've ever had in the history of this show, which is really very disturbing to me.
Well, yes. I was going to say this. This goes a long way toward explaining some of the behavior that Anna and I have been noticing.
It doesn't help with the cognitive dissonance.
No, it doesn't.
Lack of Canarbal wagons is a negative contributor I've found to that disorder.
There ought to be a shot for this. Where's modern pharmacology?
You know? Oh, there's plenty of it out there.
Is there?
Sure. I mean, that's why every 5 seconds you got a commercial. Remember, there was a whole movement in the 1990s and 2000s where there was, you know, commercials with this like little cloud that was, you know, bouncing around. It was very sad. And then, you gave it a pill and it got real happy, right?
Yes.
And so there was that, you know, that whole kind of, you know, whatever that happened to be, Zoloft kind of era, right? And then now we have drugs to try to fix what Zoloft just did to you.
I know.
Right?
It's terrible.
Yeah. And now, and that's, you cannot turn on television anymore. It just tells you a little something.
I know. Without these ads.
And then, for everything to get, and I'm thinking to myself, who has this problem? Have you seen like the one for like the twitchy pinky? It's like all of a sudden your hand starts to move and you're like, who's got that?
I know. I never knew there was such a thing.
And you know what would be awesome? If they didn't spend all that money on advertising, the medicine would cost a lot less.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Excellent point, Jen.
And then I love, you know, who's out cutting their lawn dancing about a cholesterol drug? You know? It just, it's
crazy. Seem very happy in some of those commercials. The O1, when they're all like,
One that gets me, though, is the one where the everybody has had, like they're sitting at dinner with their family, and then all of a sudden they're getting pulled away because they're dying.
Because they're having a heart attack.
They're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
You don't want a heart attack to take you away from your family, do you?
And it's so
sad. Wait a minute.
And then
you got fear-based, isn't it?
Right. And then you got another guy who was like, oh, my God, I had this thing happen, and now, and I had a blood clot, and I almost died.
Yeah. Another guy walking happily down the street with a family, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a finger punching at his shoulder, and oh, you're having a heart attack. And then, but
it's the worst.
I know. But then suddenly he realizes he's on the medication, and so he's okay. And then we flash back to the happy scene again. You know, it just.
You start feeling you have all these things when you watch these enough in, you know, rotation.
Yeah.
It's
like,
bad.
Wait a minute.
I don't need to dance about my, you know, whatever medication I'm on, you know. They have these things now where they have these catchy jingles and all. I don't know. I guess it works from a marketing standpoint.
It must, because it's, and God bless them for spending the money.
That's right, because that's our.
I like the one now
pays
where.
Our bills, right?
This is my favorite one, where now you got even the guy, like you got like a dark alley guy now who's selling you pills that you don't have to go see a doctor for. It's sort of like, hey, listen, you got ED, you got cold sores. He's doing that thing with his, like,
Just call our 1-800 number and we'll get
a physician from Thailand who's going to talk to you.
Is that even legal? I wonder every time I see that ad, you know?
As long as they're registered.
Okay.
It doesn't really, I guess it doesn't matter. They got a guy. And then, you know, whatever they're getting per the referral is probably more than they're making over at the hospital. So, man, they ask you a couple questions. They go, how often's the outbreak? Does it hurt? Is it burning? It's not working? Okay, I can handle that for you. And it's sort of like, what's your blood pressure? I don't know. Good enough. I mean, it's like,
Fine. We'll have it in the mail to you tomorrow.
And they want it
overnighted? Or
And they're sending it to you in packets like they sell heroin on the West Side. It's the same sort of thing. That's going to be the next deal. People are going to get off the Eisenhower at Independence just to get Viagra and anti-herpes medication.
Oh, gosh. Hey, you know, speaking of that, though, medication and all, how about that article in New York Times reporting they've had two cures now for HIV? Have you seen that?
Well, the first one was a decade ago.
Groundbreaking.
The first one was a decade ago, and this is the new one is now, and it's a little different process that they're using.
Yeah.
But, you know, you stop and you think about, I mean, I remember those. I was in college and then coming out and starting to work in this business in the 80s, and it's in the midst of the crisis, right in the teeth of the crisis. And I was working at the Merchandise Mart at NBC, and the Merchandise Mart had its own zip code, right? Mm-hmm. It by zip code had more people associated with that zip code die by percentage.
Wow.
Die from AIDS.
It's terrible.
Of anything, because it was, you know, it's a very creative, you know, design center and all of that. So there was, and it was just an amazing, it was just one of those little rare statistics that in the middle of the crisis. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of focus, and it seemed to me, I remember the panic of people like, this is going to take everybody out eventually, it's going to start moving around, and there's no cure in sight. And it was, and the entire, the federal government along with the universities of the, you know, the big research universities and hospitals
yes.
in the United States and the Centers for Disease Control, they just targeted this. And not only did they find a way to you know, stem the tide of this in the United States and other places that could afford the drugs, but they also found a way to start curing other things as a result of the research they were doing on this.
How about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've got a friend who's a physician, and a friend of his is the guy who came up with the cocktail that kept HIV in check. You look at medical professionals and all, and you think, how do you begin attacking a disease? You know, it's got to be a complicated thing.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing what happened there, and you wonder if that sort of an effort, that's like a moonshot effort
yes.
that they had to get.
We've got to do that
disease.
For breast cancer. We've got to do it for Alzheimer's, you know, and so many diseases.
Right.
Well,
there's a cancer moonshot going on right now. They're trying to figure mm-hmm. out if there's a way to, and this is part of the same technology that's come out of this HIV thing, is the way to use genetics to go, to use actual stem cells and genetics
yes.
and things like that, to go in and go fight, use biology to fight against
sure.
the pathological biology.
Yes.
So that's really the interesting way of looking at it. All right, well, we got that. That's kind of a hopeful note.
It
Between
is.
That and the fact that there's going to be 160s popped in the next 2 weeks,
well,
I kind of like the
well,
idea.
Well, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Statistically.
I'll take your word
you know,
it.
Near 50, on, hey, we'll take what we can get at this
right.
point. You know?
Listen, when a European model tells me anything, I believe it.
No, every time I used to refer to the European,
something
Steve
in common.
Sanders would say, is she a blonde or brunette?
Yeah.
You know, and I said neither. She's
By the way, I also believe everything a European model tells me to.
Very 2018 of you guys.
Thank you very much.
Mr.
Thank
President.
You. You're
yes.
welcome. Thank you, everybody.
You
appreciate
bet.
It.
See you, Ro.
See you.
Bye,
Anna.
Tom.
Bye,
bye. Right.
WTTW's Jeffrey Baer and Eddie Griffin are waiting in the PPG Paints green room after Kim's news. Tell us about the Chicago on Vacation with Jeffrey Baer special coming up tonight.
So exciting
on Channel 11. It's gonna be very, very fun. That's all coming your way. But first, let's find out from Kim what's happening in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Another Chicago alderman expected to plead guilty to corruption charges.
Eagle River bills itself as the snowmobile capital of the world. Yeah, Wisconsin is keeping the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office busy.
Well, Jeff, how did you like this?
I loved it, actually. How'd I look?
You look good. It's a colorful sled, a colorful jacket.
There is something about the styling going on here. You guys like to look good while you're doing this, huh?
I don't think they look all that good.
As long as we keep our helmets on, we look okay.
That's a Wisconsin sound right
just
there.
Just perfect.
As long as we keep our helmets on, we look okay.
Okay. Let's go to the supper club, huh?
Whole pack.
Two of us.
Actually, you know what you do up in Eagle River when you're done snowmobiling? You go to Weasel's, the strip club there, where you're in your full, whatever that is, whatever that gear is that you have to wear, that like onesie, that like puffed up heated onesie that those people wear.
That's often
and
camo.
They, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they pull it down, and it's the only strip club in America that smells like gasoline. Because everybody's got it.
Tell me where it is. I'd love to go.
It's a happening up there. That's what goes on in northern Wisconsin. And Channel 11, WTTW, has got this great special by the guys who bring you some of the most entertaining television this town has ever produced.
Absolutely true.
Jeffrey Baer is with us, along with his producer, and I'm assuming this, your producing partner, right? Is that where you come in, Eddie?
That's correct. That's
All
me.
Right. Eddie,
and director.
Eddie Griffith's director, and they've done this really, really, really cool. Chicago on Vacation with Jeffrey Baer starts tonight on Channel 11, 90-minute documentary, and there's also a companion website that is going live, I'm assuming, when this thing is going live tonight. Is that how that goes?
That is correct.
Okay. I mean, I understand so little about how the modern world works. That's how I end up on a snowmobile and pulling into the parking lot of Weasels. Now,
that's not in the show, by the way. Had we known about it, we could have, blacked out the naughty bits. And,
right.
You know.
Did you stop by any strip clubs as part of this?
Not a single one.
That's I would. Yeah.
How about
surprise me.
Did you get a pasty anywhere? Did you get one of those? I mean, like the edible
pasty.
Ones. Pasty.
Different pronunciation.
Yes. Yeah, I get it. Yes. Now the whole idea here is that you're highlighting vacation spots that Chicagoans have been frequenting for generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like so. I've been doing these shows on Channel 11 for like 25 years, and it's always been, you know, the neighborhoods, the river, the you know, the suburbs.
One.
And I've been pitching this idea for years because it has always seemed to me like these vacation destinations, Starved Rock, Galena, you know, Door County, mm-hmm. Mackinac Island, are kind of like extensions of people's hometowns. They have the same sort of affection for these places.
Sure.
And sure enough, I mean, the buzz has been unbelievable with the show. Every time I leave like a studio like this, a radio interview, like three people in the hallway are like, oh, you're going to do Door County, right? Uh-huh. Oh, we always used to go to Galena.
Don't forget about Mackinac.
Exactly. And so it really does seem like this is kind of striking a nerve somewhere.
Are you still finding that people are going? Because I know growing up, we went to Door County every single summer, and that was our place, and it still has such a special place in my heart, just like you're describing. But I wonder, is that changing where people are going, checking out new places, and maybe this show will make people want to do that, but are they still going back again and again to the same place their family's made special?
We kind of found out that it's a little bit of both. Like, you go up there and you find people like yourself who've gone there for generations. You know, it was their grandparents' place, and then it was their parents, and now they go up there with their family, with their kids. And, you know, you kind of think of it like, if you had a house, you'd always go there, right?
Of course.
You know, if you're paying a mortgage on a lake house, why go anywhere else?
True. That's one of the problems with having a lake house. But
I don't have one.
Right, yeah.
That's one of the reasons I don't have one. The other is I can't afford to have a lake house.
No, there's two reasons. Those are mine, too. I used to go with my dad to the Indiana Dunes, just like on day trips, basically. Mm-hmm. And there was a big story about the Indiana Dunes this week, actually, about, because it just became a national park.
Mm-hmm. Eddie had to re-edit the show, actually.
Oh, really? Because it was Indiana State Dunes Park for years.
Well, it was Indiana Dunes. It was national, but it was Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore.
Yeah.
And now it's an actual national park, and
which is
very proud of that.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. And they talk about the trails and all that stuff, and I remember getting lost in those trails. And I remember going to the beaches there and thinking, oh, this is kind of, look at these kids, it's kind of cool. And then we go over to the Warren Dunes, you know, just a little further north and east. And the kids there seemed, I don't know where those kids came from, but they all seemed like they were from California. And I thought, is this what it's like to be like in the Brady Bunch? Because it was like all these people, like, they were out there trying to surf, you know, on Lake Michigan waters.
You see that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what's going on here? And to me, it is interesting because that's, what, 45 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes away?
What you're talking about is these places have like pockets of different culture, right? Mm-hmm. So we go to Grand Beach, which is where I've got that right? Where the dailies...
That's Grand Beach, you know, Long Beach.
The woman we interviewed there said, this is the South Side Riviera, right?
Right.
And then, and then you go to, like, South Haven, Michigan. That was a Jewish area. Jewish resorts, because, frankly, Jews were turned away from a lot of other resort areas, but that was a very Jewish area. A lot of these resorts had like, regional identities. And
Door County, Scandinavian traditions.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you go further up in Michigan, up the shore, up to Traverse and north of Traverse, mm-hmm. and there's a
beautiful
whole
country,
other world up there. And that's really interesting. That's where Detroit and Chicago meet. Mm-hmm. They meet on no other place.
No.
Except for there.
Try not to. Except for the Hawks.
Right.
And when they say Detroit sucks, and then that's not a good meeting.
The thing you cannot say when you get up to, like, you know, Harbor Springs, do not say Detroit sucks, because it's all the billionaires from Detroit and Chicago all hobnobbing up there with their inbred children.
I have a feeling your documentary series would be very different than Jeffrey Bear's.
It might be. All right. So now, like, explain the cut, because I think this is one of the great bits of this whole enterprise. And it starts tonight at 7:30 tonight. Mm-hmm. It's 100 minutes, right? It's going to run until, you know, you're going to do, is there going to be like pledge activities in between?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this will be,
you know us. That's how it'll
be on very late.
Yeah.
But if you want a tote bag, which I will autograph.
Oh, yeah. You can
get
one.
What do I get for that?
Do you know what else we're offering tonight during the pledge drive? Huh. Do you remember Highway Bingo?
Yeah, oh,
those
of
cards that they still make them, and they make them in St. Charles, Illinois, and we got a packet of them, and we're offering them
to
anybody who calls.
Giveaway!
So now your kids won't look at the screens in the back seat.
Oh. Right? I thought that was impossible to get them away
at
the screen.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, they might. The you shove one of those in front of them, and
the driver will be looking at the highway bingo.
Yeah, they're
not too smart.
Well, the car can drive itself now, too.
That's right.
It's going to ruin everything. So the point here is the car. You got a station wagon for this.
We had a, I'm driving around in a 1973 Chevy Impala station wagon, and when we saw the car, Eddie found the car for filming. It was the same car I had in high school with the clamshell tailgate.
Wow!
And so you see my reaction on camera. And it's true. I can't believe my eyes. And then I actually found a picture of me with hair, and the plaid bell bottoms loading a suitcase into the back of our car. And Eddie kindly put that in the show.
Right. When you think of a station wagon and a road trip, you think of Chevy Chase.
You totally do.
And so we kind of harken back a little bit to that, to the idea of the road trip, to where you're putting your family in the car and you're spending six hours, and the road trip itself, the time in the car, is part of the trip.
Oh gosh,
unfortunately,
that's
not the way anymore.
I remember the fights with my sisters. I mean, that's 6 hours up to Door County. Oh my gosh,
do I have to turn around and stop this car?
All of that, it comes back.
But you still have to do that, though. The thing is that everybody has that. I did it with my daughter. She went to camp up in the Minocqua area.
Oh, yeah. We go there in the show.
The water skiing things, and, you know, my legendary newsman, Jim Johnson, he had a house up there. He would go up there every weekend. Every weekend he would drive up. His wife
would
live up there. It's
like an 8-hour drive.
Yeah, 7.5. Although he would leave Friday night after the show, stay in a no-tell motel somewhere. He would not tell us what it was because it was $19 a night, and it was clean, and he didn't want anybody finding out about it. Was his whole thing. And then he would drive the rest of the morning. Then he would come back on, you know, like late Sunday night and a Monday morning. And so I started going up and hanging out with them up in Boulder Junction is where they're near, and it is God's country. I mean, and you do them at you, and you still have to drive to it. You can't fly to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, I suppose, but you know, you'd have to be
wealthy.
Your own jet, right? Your own prop plane. It's still got that experience. You put the kids in the back of your SUV, right, and you drive up there, and the kids are still now. The kids have headphones on, and they're being otherwise stimulated, so you don't have to talk to them. And of course, they also don't know the names of their siblings, so that's a separate issue. The dog still has to get out and go on the roadside, and all those things.
Well, thank God someone's stopping and getting out. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I think changed the road trip was the interstate highway, because it used to be you were going through these little towns, and there were all these kind of roadside quirky things, and the interstate highway completely standardized everything, right? All the signage is the same, the road widths, the lane widths, the bridge height.
You have a term for that. The everywhere strip.
Strip. So then you get off the highway, and every exit has the same five chain motels, the same five fast food restaurants. It's the everywhere strip. But what was wonderful to discover with this show is you get past that everywhere strip, and local character is still alive and well, as you were talking
about.
Great
restaurants. I found a restaurant right outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin, in the summer, that was in a little shack. And it was like somebody's house, actually, in this little town that had nothing else going on in it. But Yelp gave it incredible reviews. And I thought, okay, I'll try it. It was one of the best meals I've had in years.
We found, what was the name of the place in Saugatuck?
The Southern Kitchen.
The Southerner. I think it was called The Southerner.
Maybe. Just a little place on the Kalamazoo River.
We went every night. I mean, like fried chicken, all this Southern food. And sat in Saugatuck, Michigan.
And Yelp is very good for that, by the way. That's an important thing that changes your diet. Because if you don't want to just go to the same places, the everywhere places, you can find them. And now, I don't know whether it was the cooking shows or the kitchen. I don't know what did it, but there's a whole generation now of people who really care about what they're doing in the kitchen. And they make great stuff, including dotting through these little towns all over America.
It's fun to discover.
I just checked it. It's called The Southern.
Yeah, I just saw it, too. The inside just looks so country, fresh, farm. Like, you get, like, some great eggs and bacon there. I don't know if that's what it is, but it looks like a beautiful build-out and a very classic kind of old...
Beautiful view of the river. Of course, when we were there, it was a little cold, but it was really nice.
Awesome. Where did you go growing up, Jeffrey?
We always went with my... When I was a little kid, we always went to this George Williams College camp on Lake Geneva, which George Williams founded the YMCA. And this is where they trained YMCA camp counselors, but it was also apparently a place where families could go and vacation. And so I found a picture of me celebrating my 7th birthday there. And so Eddie put that in the show, too.
I love it.
And but now, because we went back for the show, I hadn't been back in 50 years, and wow. It was kind of cool. The little, I mean, it's all different now. It's owned by Aurora University, but the little beach is still there and the pier, and so that was fun. And then now my family, we tend to go to Michigan, up the Michigan Shore. Although I've
asked them where it is,
promised everyone I'm
where
not.
Do you go?
I'm not telling.
Why is that?
Because we don't want to ruin
showing
it.
Preference? Oh, and you mean it's part of the show?
I know this.
He doesn't want to give it away.
He doesn't want to tell anybody.
See, it's the Jim Johnson trick.
It's the Jim Johnson trick.
Because he knows everything. He just visited everywhere. He knows the best places. He doesn't want to give his place away.
How many hours is it from here?
It's about a 6-hour drive.
Traverse City, is it not?
It's near Traverse City. Uh-huh. It's on the lake. But literally, the people who go there, it's a little vacation spot. They're like, you're not going to tell anybody.
I'm telling everyone.
Don't feel bad. He hasn't told me either.
Like Little Traverse Bay or Traverse Bay?
It's on Lake Michigan. That's all I'm saying.
Damn it.
I'll look at a map here.
Well, because once you get, no, this is true in Wisconsin too. Once you break the atmosphere of Chicago, and it's about 3.5 hours to break the atmosphere, maybe four by the time we get away from Chicago. But the farther you go, the more outrageously great it gets north of a Little Traverse Bay. I forget what they call it. It's like the cave, I think they call it, of trees.
Oh, the tunnel of trees.
Tunnel of trees, yeah. Where you might as well be on the Pacific Coast Highway, and it's this tunnel of trees, and you're looking at these gigantic cliffs and beautiful Lake Michigan.
That's going to look great in our show, isn't it, Eddie?
Yeah, too bad we cut it.
Oh, no.
Eddie, you cut that part?
For time.
Eddie,
for
you're
time.
Fired.
The show is already in 100 minutes.
Maybe part two. Part two.
Part two.
Next year.
We filmed it, but a lot of things, unfortunately, had to end up on the cut.
Isn't that it's visually stunning.
It was cool.
Unlike anything, even up Pacific Coast Highway, it doesn't look like that.
Right. Up that part of Michigan up there, you feel like Sleeping Bear Dunes. You get there and you look like, this could be in the Caribbean. This turquoise blue water.
Right.
It's a 450-foot sand dune. You can see across Lake Michigan to Wisconsin, and you're like, God, I can't believe this is 4 hours from Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Does there Did you do the Upper Peninsula?
We did not.
We did not.
Did you shoot it for part two?
No, I actually...
Do you want me to go up there with you and do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can find you some pasties.
Early in my... you got the word pasties.
I got it finally.
Early in my TV career, I worked at a TV station in Saginaw, Michigan.
Oh, boy.
And I actually did a piece about what goes on in the Upper Peninsula in February, and we did a whole thing up there. Never been colder in my life.
Yeah.
But we go to Mackinac, which is...
We do go to Mackinac.
That's pretty close.
And we go to the North Woods of Wisconsin. We go to the World Championship Snowmobile Derby. And it was freezing, so I bought this bright red, really cool, like, heavy winter coat, right? Because I'm thinking, I'm going to look good up there. And we get there, and it's just what one of you was saying. You know, they're all dressed in those overall
snowmobile suits,
camo things, right? And they're looking at me like, you're not from around here, are you?
The bright red, like you're in Aspen or something.
Right, and there's always one spouse that's in trouble with the other, and they get like a deer suit that they put them in for that time of the year. Like, honey, you're going to love it. Don't worry about it. You just get right in the deer suit. No one, it'd be right that in the back of it. The machine, they call it, right? And they call it the machine or the sled.
I went snowmobile. I rode a snowmobile. I went ice fishing. I went skiing.
That's a useless thing to do.
Ice fishing.
Yeah.
We met the greatest. It was an all woman ice fishing club.
You know what makes ice fishing?
Yeah.
Brandy. Right. It's the only reason to be out there is that you. After a while, it seems interesting because you're drunk. But then you also are thinking, you know what? I'm fishing in a little hole, and you're in a shack, right? You go in the shack. You're in the shack, and you're like, is this thing going to hold? I mean, is it possible that we're going to melt through this thing?
That was my worry, actually, as I was thinking about it. And then you walk out on the ice, and you just feel like you're on the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
And they drill through it, and it's like 15 inches thick, and you're like, okay.
And then you hear a crack, and somebody's Honda Escape just actually went through the ice.
That's all I'd be thinking about. Who's going
to
fall in?
Right. What happened to Marge's Honda? All right. Do not miss this tonight.
Sounds amazing.
I'm going to take a night off of watching Anderson cry to see this. Chicago on Vacation, WTTW special, revisits the Great Midwestern Family Road Trip. It starts tonight, 7:30 on WTTW and WTTW.com.
And don't forget the website, WTTW.com/vacation, my travel journal, all kinds of travel tips on there, all kinds of other stuff.
If you like what you see tonight, go to the website and you can plan your own trip.
Oh, I like that.
Good idea.
I love
that
idea.
I mean, we have people, and especially in the summer, there's no better. We talked about it a million times. Going around the lake is the greatest adventure. Everybody says, oh, I want to do it. Go do it. It will change your life. It
I just
really
like
is
the
beautiful.
Mental journey of doing that right now, just planning a trip.
thinking
about being on a lake somewhere.
All right, Jeffrey, thank you so much for being with us.
This is awesome.
And you know what? And finally, the man who has had such little recognition, your production team finally is a part of this
whole
conversation.
There you go. Yes, thank you for
having
us.
Thanks for coming by, Eddie.
Yes, Eddie, it's about time that you're the man behind the man. I mean, let's just face it.
Exactly.
You know, Jeffrey's out there saying he goes back to his trailer. He's the one doing the real job.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Thank you
both. I got Blackhawks tickets for you right now. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200 rips us off for a pair of tickets to go see the Hawks taking on the Phoenix Coyotes on Monday, the 11th. Do not miss this. All brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Cooling. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And that's it, I suppose.
I think that tells you
everything you need to know about that. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Let's check in with Kim. What's happening in the news at the top of the hour?
Roe will bring you part one of our series, R. Kelly Offstage.
Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Jeffrey Bear has me wanting to already plan a road trip now.
That was really cool.
I loved that. I'm just looking forward to that WTTW special. He does such a wonderful job.
Every one of them.
Every single one of them.
You learned something you had no idea. It was right in front of you your entire life.
Right. And they just stir up so much nostalgia and love of our city. So
right.
That's a big part of it.
And that screams summer, because I think there's a lot of families that you know, get in the car over the years, whether it was the baby boomers who got in the car with their parents, or it was the Gen Xers getting in the car with their baby boomer parents, right? Or the millennials getting in the car with their Gen X parents. Whatever it is, it's the same thing. I mean, listen, kids still go to camp. They still go up there. There's still stuff that happens. People got to stay in creepy hotels and motels. Turns out, I learned the hard way that up in northern Wisconsin, the Four Seasons is yet to have opened a hotel.
Oh, how did you manage?
I don't know.
What did you do?
That was camping. Staying at the Americana Inn is camping. Well, first of all, there's like a pool in your room, which is a thing. There's like a dip pool in, and I don't even understand how they do that. How do they, in the middle of, there's like two beds and a hot tub.
Yeah, I never.
And a separate bathroom.
I never trust those.
Oh, yeah, no. And then you're wondering, like, when people have come, like, you know, a bunch of guys going up on a snowmobile trip, and the guy with the short straw is the guy who has to sleep in the hot tub. comes out like a prune, but he fits better into a snowmobile suit. By the way, I do know, for those who are calling and texting now,
everybody's texting you,
that Weasels burned down the famous strip club in Eagle River.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
So sad.
Are you kidding? We used to pass it when I went to camp. Weasels,
you know it too?
Oh, of course.
How do people know this place?
After Roe earlier said it's only strip club in America that smelled like gasoline.
Well, I can't say it. Let's go immediately.
Maybe
what a selling point.
No wonder it turned into ashes.
Might have been a clue there somewhere.
Nobody light a match.
Right. Yeah.
Where did you go to camp?
I went to camp just north of Eagle River in Conover.
Conover.
Yeah.
No relation.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What was near the camp?
Nothing.
It doesn't
just camp.
Doesn't want to say it was just camp.
Camp.
What do you mean? What was near it?
No. What was the name of the camp?
Oh, Camp Ramah. Sorry,
Camp Ramah.
Yes.
All right. Because everybody's got a camp. It's almost like gangs down here on the North Shore. They all fight each other. They get on Saturday afternoons. They all meet, and there's the Camp Shivers, the Camp Ramah versus
the
Camp.
Where'd you go to high school? Yeah. Where'd you go to camp?
Yeah. Exactly. So true. All right. Here we go.
It's the top five on the Roe Con Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
You got to be very careful, though, because the Camp Nicolet kids kick everybody's ass. All right, checking in at
number five.
Oh, the 2020 Democrats want to be president. there's just no end to them. It's as far as the eye can see.
They keep coming.
You could fill up the United Center right now with the number of people who are doing it.
How many are we up to?
5 million. The former Secretary of State, however, and First Lady, former First Lady, Hillary Clinton, has ruled herself out.
I'm not running, but I'm going to keep working and speaking and standing up for what I believe. I want to be sure that people understand. I'm going to keep speaking out. I'm not going anywhere. What's at stake in our country? The kinds of things that are happening right now are deeply troubling to me. We've gotten not just polarized, we've gotten into really opposing camps, unlike anything I've ever seen in my adult life.
Who was the person in back who was going along with her? Was that like her friend who was also having a Brandy Alexander with her?
She gave some interview. We got to figure out who it was, too. But
Channel 12 in news.
New York.
It's in
Long Island, is it? Or
no,
it?
Up in
upstate.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
where they
out.
Live. Near Chappaqua.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that county is.
Well.
Anyway, it was like a local TV station up there.
Hmm.
But it did sound like somebody was like having cocktails with her, like having a glass of wine. I was like, all right, I'm going to turn the camera on now, and you just tell us how you feel.
The president has already tweeted about it. Confirms Hillary says she will not run in 2020, rules out a third bid for White House. Aw, shucks. Does that mean I won't get to run against her again? She'll be sorely missed. Exclamation point. There you go. He saw that same interview, too.
Such a troll.
Number four.
Former White House lawyer Ty Cobb called Robert Mueller an American hero in an interview on ABC's The Investigation podcast. Cobb says that Mueller is a class act.
What do you think of Bob Mueller?
I think Bob Mueller is an American hero. I think Bob Mueller is a guy that, even though he came from an arguably privileged background, has a backbone of steel. He walked into a firefight in Vietnam to pull out one of his injured colleagues and was appropriately honored for that. I've known him for 30 years as a prosecutor and a friend, and I think the world of Bob Mueller.
Now, listen to this. This is where it gets really interesting. And I remind you, this is the president's former lawyer. The lawyer for the president.
I think it'd be disingenuous to suggest that the president doesn't need a better HR team. And that, some of the people that have been chosen and put in significant roles have not performed as he may have hoped.
I don't think he had any hope for it. He just flies by the seat of his pants. Oh, this is a good idea. And then next thing you know, it doesn't work out. Wow.
Like Manafort? You think? Is that on the
Cohen,
list?
Cohen, Manafort. Corey Lewandowski, who is just the human embodiment of anger. Mm-hmm. That's all he is. He's totally. Like wide-eyed, spitting anger. It's like
he does. He spits venom.
Right.
When he talks.
I was watching him last night on Chris Cuomo, and it was like he just is angry at all times. He is always in up to 11, and he's mad, and everything's intense, and you're just waiting for a vein to pop or an eyeball to go shooting across the room
between the two of them.
Right. Right. Well, that's Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo looks like a statue of anger of intensity. He actually looks like the human embodiment of steroids, is what he looks like. But the
steroid man.
Any minute now, Chris Cuomo is going to start a show. Hello, brothers. Welcome to the show.
He's in great shape.
Yes. Just ask him. But it was a weird group. I think what we're going to learn about this whole era in American history was this is what happens when you get people who didn't come up through the political system. I can argue, oh, look what the political system has gotten us. Well, I don't know. If you go outside, here's my take on this. People who are like, you know what, this country really sucks. Those are people who have never been to another country. I dare you to go to any other country. I don't care how great or wonderful or industrialized or fantastic, fabulous any other country is. You cannot wait to get home and have McDonald's. Right? That is true. So before we start tearing the whole place down, because we're frustrated, because we've been trained up by many different elements in the vast universe of American electronic media to hate each other because that sells, more, I guess, walk-in bathtubs. I don't know. But whatever it does, if that is where we, if that's where you sit, you might want to rethink it. Because it's kind of goofy. But this is where my point is. This is from a group of people who just, that was their whole intent, was to blow things up, and they'd never really done any of this before. And then they were all fighting with each other because they're all sort of angry. Imagine putting 13 angry people in a room trying to get one solution out of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get to your 3-2-1. But first, let's check in. Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, a teen's been injured after a hit and run on the southwest side this afternoon.
It's a backcourt battle as the Bulls look to polish off the Pacers in Indy. Bulls-Pacers tonight at 6 on WGN-TV Sports.
Top 5-5 continues. We've worked our way to
number 3.
Adam Pac-Man Jones, the troubled former NFL star. More trouble. He was at a Southern Indiana casino, and he got accused of capping his bets, which means that as they were paying out the bets, he was sliding more chips onto the table to make it seem as though he had bet more than he had, so he'd be paid out more than he had.
Hmm.
Should have been.
Don't they have surveillance everywhere in casinos?
Yes, and that's the problem for Pac-Man Jones. They went to the videotape. There was all of a sudden, here's Gene Sternator. What's the guy's name?
Yeah, that works.
That guy, sitting up in the booth going, now, you see, notice now, here's Pac-Man. He's sliding the chips forward as the camera is moving. And as you'll notice, here's the dealer moving from left to right.
Maybe he was hoping it was like the NFL. They can't really tell when a foul has occurred or when any issue has happened.
Then he was arrested on 8 criminal charges, including felony intimidation, public intoxication, disorderly conduct, felony battery against police. This is going to get him thrown right out of the game.
I'm telling you that. Hey, what's my charge, bro? I'm asking you right now, what's my charge?
Disorderly conduct and disorderly conduct.
What? Two misdemeanor charges. My, how about that? You understand that? You locking niggas up just to get some charges. I hope you die tomorrow. You ain't even ask me what the him. Did you ask me what him? No, the you did.
Excuse me, Mr. Jones. Mr. Pac-Man Jones.
Can you watch the language, please?
Sorry.
Can you stop threatening the officer, maybe? His life.
Officer Vibeats over here feels very bad that you said he should die tomorrow. So we would really like you to stop using that kind of language.
This guy's been in and out of trouble his entire career and somehow has been able to play for 13 seasons or whatever it is.
Yeah. Shouldn't be over now.
He's probably done. He played 7 games last year for the Broncos last year. This is probably the end of the road for Pac-Man in the NFL. I'd say this might put a...
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is the kind of language that really is very upsetting. All right, we're just going to go and leave you here because you said that we should die tomorrow. And we don't want to upset you, Mr. Jones.
Who thinks that that's going to help them in an arrest situation?
Well, it's 3 in the morning, and he might have been drinking a little bit, too. So,
Why does alcohol always take it on the chin? Why is it always alcohol's fault?
Number 2.
Oh, boy.
The trailer for the final season of Game of Thrones debuted today.
I'm not going to be able to sleep.
There are a lot of clues, or are there, in this? Let's take a listen.
I know Dath. He's got many faces. I look forward to seeing this one.
Everything you did brought you where you are now. Where you belong. Home.
They're coming. Our enemy doesn't tire. Doesn't stop. Doesn't feel.
That's right, Jon Snow.
I promise to fight.
But who are they coming for?
Where's Sansa?
To keep that promise.
Is Cersei going to survive?
Who's gonna
That's
be the
not
queen?
Fair.
Where's the Queen of Dragons? Where's the Queen of Dragons? The Mother of Dragons. I don't know. Whatever she is.
She is. We know who she is.
What was she on? She was on the Oscars or something.
Yes, totally looked different.
Right,
didn't
and you're
she?
Like,
with
who
the brown
is
hair,
that?
And you're like, wait, she looks familiar.
Have you ever heard those stories that when the series first started in England, mm-hmm. they would all hang out together. They all became very good friends. As a matter of fact,
Jon Snow
married, one of his co-stars.
Sure.
Right? So they were in a bar, and they were all sitting around a table, and they wanted to get a picture of the cast, so they asked the one person they didn't recognize at the table to take the picture, and it was her! It was the star of the show because she does not have the big, she wasn't wearing the big blonde wig.
No, she's got brown hair.
Right, not the mother of dragons. And they were like, oh, you could, excuse me, could you, would you mind taking the picture of me and my meats? You're what? All right, and finally.
Number one.
Jimmy Kimmel has his own thoughts about the president, about the presidential campaign. Fox News sent debate questions to Donald Trump before the actual debate is a story that is running here. What, Jimmy, what are your thoughts?
Remember when Trump attacked Hillary for getting questions early for a town hall? Oh, he was so indignant. Basically, everything Trump has accused her of doing, he turns out to have done himself. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out he had sex with Bill Clinton. I really wouldn't.
Ew.
That, you know what? That's something just can't get out of your head.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Like that scene from Escape at Dannemora. Same thing. You just never get it out of your head. Let's close it up.
The top five at five.
Hi, I'm Mark Trestman, new head coach of the Tampa Bay franchise of the XFL. I'm excited to be here in Tampa, and we're ready to get started.
Hawks have just announced something, though. Cam Ward is injured. That's why Colin Delia is up.
Right knee injury. He's out 7 to 10 days. Oof. Cam Ward.
Oof.
But it also, yeah. It's
like Cam Ward did such a nice job, I thought.
He really did.
After the beginning, it was tough. You know, that transition in the fall was, in the beginning of the winter, was hard for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they got on a roll and this new system started kicking in and Cam Ward got a lot of reps, I was really impressed. He was the right guy to get.
Well, and the Blackhawks thought highly enough to give him a 3-year extension, meaning he's going to be a part of the system for a while now. But, I thought
Colin Delia is a good talent, too.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Colin Delia. He got a 3-year extension.
Cam Ward's
done a really nice job, yes. But I think after seeing that initial tweet from the Blackhawks, it is sort of a sigh of relief for a lot of Hawks fans as well. So,
yeah.
Not to disregard a knee injury, but another goaltender on the team's been dealing with something else for the past couple of years. So, Corey Crawford just fine. Colin Delia getting the call up.
Need to win. Remember, I said they could only lose 5 games. I said that 5 losses ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you did. What are you going
to
say now?
Now they have to win every game. They do have to. Statistically, it's almost impossible, but they would have to win every game left, and they need a couple key losses.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they are 8 points out of the wild card with 16 games to go.
Right.
Yikes.
So, you know, you got it. 16 games to go. You're going to need to, you need to get a point, at least a point a game.
Right.
And you need maybe 2.
Probably 2.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah. It's nice that Mark Trestman got a job there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy for him that Mark Trestman, arguably the most boring coach in the history of the National Football League.
I don't think even arguably. Did you see his like excitement message to the team?
Right.
It was like your accountant sitting you down and saying, "I'm excited about doing your taxes, bro."
That's what I woke up to this morning. I had like some alert from one of the sports apps I follow, and I go, Mark Trestman.
Who's the last person I know that name? That's what I thought when I saw it. I'm like, Mark Trestman. That sounds familiar. Oh my god!
And there he is with this super electric 9-second video of a cell phone like inches from his face. Hello, I'm Mark Trestman. I'm your new head football.
I'm going to be your head football
coach.
And
he's sort of peering into it like he's never seen a camera before.
Right.
He's like nose up, like he's like, well, what are we looking at?
What does this thing do?
A little terrifying.
My kid told me to do this. Remember when Mark Trestman got the job here and they put him in some, you know, beautiful home on the North Shore and he had children? He looked like, and they did like a special about him and it looked like a politician's commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, and the kids, like, one, and it goes, remember, Mark Trestman went to law school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a really smart guy.
He has like an accounting degree.
Yeah.
And then somehow he decided to go off, instead of being an FBI agent, he decided to become a head football coach. And you're like, well, I know, it didn't really seem to make a lot of sense. a lot of sense.
Could have gone Bob Mueller, special counsel team that chose sports.
And this then Bear's optimism settled in when they hired him. They're like, well, maybe he's this mad scientist. He can draw up some crazy plays.
I remember his welcome news conference, and it sounded like there were a lot of numbers throwing around, and there wasn't a lot of excitement. It was kind of hard to understand what was going on. I was taking notes to refer to later.
Like, and they got off to an okay start his first year, and then they finished 8-8, and then 2014 was just an embarrassment of a season. And they finished 5-11, and he was fired, and then Phil Emery was fired, and then it was a really dark period in Bears history.
The name we shall not speak.
All right.
Hey, wait a second. Wait, let's listen to Mark Trestman's welcome to XFL, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, he's a head coach now in the XFL. Kev's going to have to explain this to us, because I'm totally confused about all these new football leagues that are popping up and why anybody thinks that these are going to work. Mm. But here is Mark Trestman welcoming himself back into football.
Hi, I'm Mark Trestman, new head coach of the Tampa Bay franchise of the XFL. I'm excited to be here in Tampa, and we're ready to get started.
Hold me back, guys. I'm fired up. Hold me back.
I'm ready to get started. It's like his doctor beginning your surgery or something.
Hello, I'm Dr. Trestman. Start counting down from 100.
I would like to say that this is going to go well. I've done many of these.
Yes.
We feel very optimistic prognosis. Now, there is going to be some slight discomfort as we put in the IV line.
There was a moment where I it was 9 seconds long. There was a moment where I nodded off and came back during his 9 second announcement.
Yeah.
Now it's really something. They haven't even named the franchise yet, right?
Right. I'm the head coach of the Tampa Bay franchise of the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know, including myself, that's a football league.
Right.
What? All right. Now we have the AAF, right?
Correct.
What's going on right now.
This is the Alliance of American Football.
Are they
League.
Still playing,
yes,
or
they
did
are.
They quit halfway through?
No, they were. They actually got a $250 million investment as the season went on. This is going to be week 5 this weekend.
That seemed like good money after bad, but okay.
Right.
All right. So,
the Alliance of American Football League is basically trying to buddy up with the NFL, which I think is the right move here. The NFL is airing games on the NFL Network. The NFL isn't turning a blind eye, saying, "Whoa, what is this league that is trying to compete with us?" The Alliance, it seems as if they're really trying. They realize that they're not going to beat the giant that is the NFL. It's more of how do we buddy up and maybe someday
do like a development league,
like
in
a
the
feeder
spring.
System or something. And there's been executives that have come out already in the NFL that have said, "I think that's a good idea." You know, developing talent or using it as some sort of resource to try new rules or you know those sorts of things. It's like
that's
you're
what college things. Is for.
Not really, though, because the NFL and NCAA don't work that closely together.
That's fine, but the NCAA makes better decisions.
But the NFL could simply say, "We want to try this specific rule." If they told the NCAA, the NCAA would laugh in their face. Like, we don't care. You have no governing body over what we do in the NCAA. Where if the NFL owned the Alliance or was at least a partner, they could say, "I mean, look what baseball is doing in the farm system. They're putting in crazy, drastic new rules for certain minor leagues. They're like, you're going to do this. We're going to try and see if this works in your league." And I think that's why it could potentially work long term.
There's eight teams or something, right?
Yes.
In the AAF. And
same goes for both
at
leagues.
At some point, it's like the most incestuous league ever. At some point, they're getting their sisters pregnant because there are times where the teams are actually playing themselves.
Don't I know you? Yeah, I saw you in practice yesterday.
Right, we're on the same team.
Should I hit you? Should I not? So both leagues are 8-team leagues. 14 playoffs, 10 weeks. The XFL, this is why I'm much more skeptical about the XFL. Bro, you remember the XFL back in 2001, and it was a complete failure.
Yeah, this was Vince McMahon's idea.
Yeah, and this is still Vince McMahon. He sold a bunch of stock in his WWE company to fund this thing, started a whole new entertainment group, got some investors.
Now, his wife is in the Trump cabinet, right? Isn't Linda McMahon like the...
Yeah.
She's a small business.
Right.
She hasn't left yet. I know she wasn't
Yeah, I was
for
like,
a
that's a good point.
It's tough
you have to
keep
kind
track
of
keep the,
track.
The carousel that it is. Now, the XFL is a little different from the Alliance. The Alliance has decided to go to some smaller markets, where the XFL has teams in Dallas, Houston, LA, New York, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa, and DC.
So teams that they already have teams in those
Correct.
Markets.
Except for St. Louis.
Except for St. Louis, they did, but
really,
San Diego
Rams picked
right.
up.
But those are some AAF towns too, right?
AAF, I want to, and AAF is Arizona, Salt Lake, San Antonio, San Diego, Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, and Orlando.
So Atlanta and San Diego will have both.
Yeah, and remember, San Diego doesn't have a team anymore. Oh. Remember the
I'm sorry. I hate to make this confusing.
Yes, I know.
But because this is confusing.
No, San Diego's not with the XFL.
Okay. All right.
They're with the AAF.
Correct. But as
got it. The AAF. No problem.
Hello.
Mark Trestman,
excuse
your spreadsheet for us, please.
Me. I'm Coach Trestman. I can help you with this.
Yes. I guess the biggest difference to know is that these are basically both semi-pro leagues where the AAF is closer to the NFL, and the XFL really, although they're going to be in this in February, and they're going to start right after the Super Bowl just like the AAF does,
mm-hmm.
it still feels like they're kind of competing with the NFL. I mean, it doesn't really seem like they have any sort of willingness to have an affiliation with the NFL.
Well, you remember the XFL was partially in the early 2000s, partially funded by Donald Trump, because he got squinched on the deal to get the Buffalo Bills, which is now becoming some sort of a court deal.
Right.
Right. Now we're looking into that transaction right. That he was, you know, some weirdness happened there too.
Yeah.
But he wanted in as an owner of the NFL.
And he always did, right?
Yeah.
And isn't that basically why he started the USFL?
USFL.
To compete with the NFL, because they didn't want him in the NFL. They didn't like him.
Right. And didn't he have an XFL team? Wasn't there an XFL team, or was he a part of it?
Double check.
Because, you know,
right.
The McMahons, obviously, he's very close with those folks.
Mm-hmm.
The WWE people. I remember on the campaign trail, he lauded them as such a great American company. And I'm thinking of all the great American. I'm thinking of, you know, I stopped. I thought about Boeing, and I thought about, you know, General Motors, and I thought about Xerox, and I thought about Apple, and I thought about Amazon. I thought about a lot of great American companies. And then when you talked about the WWE being this great American company, I'm like,
yeah,
what? So I know he was involved in. He wanted to be involved in this. He's always wanted to be involved in football,
right? I don't believe he's involved in any way in the XFL, as far as I know right now. But I just think the XFL was 1 year. There was a team in Chicago. Remember the Chicago Enforcers? They played at Soldier
mm-hmm.
Field,
yep.
And they had teams in all the major markets. Lasted for a season, lost a bunch of money, folded.
It was only one season.
It was one season. They were one and done.
I remember.
You remember them?
Oh, for sure.
I was into it because I was a football junkie growing up.
Was it Connie Kowal, who's in a great sport, Chicago sports guy, who's involved in a bunch of sport, different franchises and things over the years, who was involved? I remember they came into the studio and they gave us Chicago Enforcer little footballs.
Yeah, oh. I still have a Chicago Enforcer mini helmet in my parents' basement. Yeah,
and they were like, "This is going to be the thing, man." Yeah. And I love the idea of spring football.
Yeah,
but. It's never worked. And before that, before the XFL was the USFL, and it was the Chicago corrupt politicians or something. I can't remember the name of the team. The Blizzard or something, right? Was it the Blizzard?
The XFL team for what?
The USFL team here was the Blizzard. And then there was the WFL and WFA teams. The Blitz, right. I'm sorry.
Blitz.
That lasted a couple years. And then before that, there was the Chicago Fire. And that folded to create the Chicago Wind.
Oh, wow.
Which folded.
The Wind.
Yeah. I mean, these things are all either a season or two seasons long. It just has never taken off.
Well, you just wonder, are they trying to go after regular NFL fans
who just
kind of want a little more football in their life?
Yeah, because it's the morning after the Super Bowl, right? When everyone, you're either just straight up hungover.
You're pretty upset about it.
You're pretty upset about, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No more football. So I think for diehard football fans, it makes sense if you have the investment, if you have the NFL on board with you, because you're not going to carry it privately on your own. You're not. It's interesting. You know, I remember Dick Ebersol is one of the most famed sports producers of all time. He's part of the Olympics forever.
Yeah.
His son Charlie is one of the basically execs in the Alliance of American Football League, not the XFL. Vince McMahon and Dick Ebersol were very close friends. They started the XFL basically together. And Dick Ebersol is now on the board of directors for the AAF. Sorry, I'm sure everybody's head is exploding.
I totally understood what you were saying. I completely followed along, which is why I've signed up with the Tampa Bay, Florida franchise of the Association of American Football.
Yeah, I won't even bore you just with all the different rule changes in all these leagues, but they're trying new things.
Gentlemen, what we're going to do is we're going to split U22 up into 11 on one side and 11 on the other. Now, one will have the football. We will call that a possession.
I'm excited to get started.
So,
you will have four opportunities to advance 10 yards.
Well, if it tells you anything about where the AAF is right now, Ro had asked me if the league is still going on at this point, and they're in week five. And right. Ro's a football guy. So,
I love football.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I have that hangover. I had to totally, because, you know, yeah. College, I mean, I may even be more passionate now about college football than I am about the pros. There's something about it. I can watch almost any college game. There's something about, it's the traditions of the game.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
the traditions of the schools.
I
and
love
all that.
Going to a game, a college game, nothing like that.
And the Bears playing so well this year. I mean, I'm back. I'm sort of more focused on the NFL than I have been in a number of years because the Bears are actually good. But wow.
My official handicap, the AF has a much, 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 much better shot of lasting for multiple years than the XFL.
Oh, when you make a choice like Mark Trestman is your head coach on one of your major franchises, I mean, that's certainly...
Hey, Bob Stoops getting back into coaching. He's going to take over the Dallas team for the XFL.
I like to say... Oh, Bob Stoops.
Yeah, Bob Stoops?
Who's Bob
Stoops? Longtime Oklahoma coach.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Started it as a grad assistant at Iowa. All the Stoops brothers.
Yeah.
It's a bad name for a guy. Hey, Stoop, come here.
Stoops, get over here.
All right. So we wish everybody the best of luck. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Mayor Emanuel not making it a secret how he feels about the president's border wall.
Ro Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Kylie Jenner tops of the self-made billionaire list.
I have troubles with this.
And she made it at a younger age than Mark Zuckerberg.
Sure, she had to work as hard, too.
She just posts stuff on Instagram, and she created these makeup products, and everybody buys them.
Everybody.
She make them in her garage in Silicon Valley, which she's sweating over.
No, that's Silicon Valley is down south. Silicon Valley is up north.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's I know,
very similar.
I know the difference.
There are some overlap.
Yeah, yeah, that's they are the
some overlap.
The Kardashians are Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is buzzing. Kim Gordon's going to have the news coming your way in 2 minutes. And then on the other side, you're going to find out if the first big smash hit blockbuster fantasy movie of the year, Captain Marvel, is a hit or a miss. I'm going to find that out next. And then R. Kelly speaks. Wait till you hear what he has to say. The tape has just come in. Stay right here. It's a Ro Concho with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
Richard Roper is right here, right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, reporting everyone. For duty.
Yes, exactly. I am reporting for duty.
I would just like to say I'd like to welcome you to the XFL Tampa Bay franchise
as well.
Oh, my
gosh. Richard.
We're really excited that you're here with
us. We're going to do a little exercise I like to call practice. I'm
novel.
Mark Trestman. I was once an NFL coach. I also won the Grey Cup in Canada, but nobody seems to care about that. We're going to put 11 players on this side of the ball and 11 players on this side of the ball.
Who'd you coach in the NFL?
I can't recall.
Didn't go well.
Did not go well.
Sporting a new look there, too, which I would call, I have a shrine to you in my basement.
It was very creepy, the way he stared into the camera.
He's a good man, I'm just saying. It's just like, yeah, he looks like
a little
one of those.
Too close with the nose first, you know, yeah. Kind of like peering into the camera, like,
not
let me see.
No.
Yeah.
And young man, if there's anything I can do to help you with your taxes at the end of the year, please let me know.
It's amazing.
I mean, really, honest to God, he should have been a dentist. That's what he should have been, and he ended up as an NFL coach, Mark Trestman. But that's not why we called Richard Roper.
No, it's okay.
The exact opposite of Mark Trestman and the lackluster, very boring, not very active offense is contrasted with the first blockbuster film of the year
from
the Marvel Universe.
Captain Marvel hits theaters tomorrow, and You know, it's kind of hard to separate from all the madness that's been out there about Captain Marvel, because, you know, a lot of the fanboys, they're not happy about this Brie Larson playing the Captain Marvel.
They think it should be a man?
They think it should be a man, and then she said something and they got their feelings hurt, and then the people go nuts, and Rotten Tomatoes actually changed their policy of allowing comments before movies come out, because all these people, you know, these fan comments were saying, oh, it's terrible and everything. They hadn't seen the movie. So Rotten Tomatoes like, you know, wait a minute. Why don't we have a new policy? We're going to let people comment on the movie after it's out, whether they've seen it or not. And I heard from a lot of people saying the same thing, too. Oh, this is terrible. I don't think, have you seen it? No, but I can tell it's terrible. Rokan says all you have to do is watch the trailer.
Yeah, you see the trailer. What else do you need?
So I have actually seen the movie. How
did I take it on the chin here?
I know. Wasn't that good? I threw that in there. But here's the thing. When you say that, it's like it's in the course of conversation. And a lot of people will say, hey, listen, based on the trailer, I'm not going to see the movie. That's the whole point of trailers, right? Either to help you decide if you're going to see the movie or not. Same thing with reviews. I did announce the other day that I am going to stick with my long-held policy of seeing the movie and then reviewing the movie.
Oh,
seeing the movie, then reviewing the movie. Okay.
All right. Now, this is very similar to my policy that I shared with the Blackhawks coach, Jeremy Colliton, which is after 60 minutes, if you score more goals than the opponent, you win the game.
I think, and that is something that will pay off every single time for any team and in the game of life. So,
all right, so here's the setup.
Okay, here's the setup for Captain Marvel. All right, so Brie Larson. It's kind of interesting because it's a little more complex, but then it gets pretty light. The setup here. Brie Larson wakes up on one of those intergalactic planets, Kree, and she can't remember her childhood. She keeps having flashbacks, but she can't really remember. All she knows now is she has these special powers, and she's trying to learn how to harness them, but also she knows there's things in her past she has to figure out. Now, she ends up on planet Earth in 1995, and we know it's 1995 because she crashes through a Blockbuster store, which is right next to a Radio Shack, and, you know, perfect, goes through the video store and starts picking up movies, you know, and like looking at these video cassettes. Now, for those of you who know the Marvel Universe, Samuel L. Jackson plays Nick Fury, who's like the head of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's like the guy with the eye patch. He always shows up and, like, tells them that they got another mission and everything. But in 1995, he's just a mid-level bureaucrat desk jockey at S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Now, this is a scene where Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, she's not known as Captain Marvel at this point, and Samuel L. Jackson are trying to determine if they're really who they say they are, because there's some shapeshifters out there that can impersonate almost anyone.
Oh.
So they're trying to get to know each other so they can then, in the future, be able to tell that it's really the other person.
All right.
Oh, you want to get personal.
Where were you born?
Huntsville, Alabama, but technically I don't remember that part.
Name of your first pet?
Mr. Snoofers.
Mr. Snoofers.
That's what I said. Did I pass?
Not yet. First job?
Soldier. Straight out of high school. Left the ranks of full bird colonel.
Then?
Spy.
Where?
It was the Cold War. We were everywhere. Belfast, Bucharest, Belgrade, Budapest. I like the bees. I can make them ride.
Now?
Been riding a desk for the past 6 years, trying to figure out where our future enemies are coming from. Never occurred to me they would be coming from above.
What I like about that is, you know, at this point in Nick Fury's career, he's still thinking that the enemies are going to be somewhere overseas, and he has not yet seen any superheroes. He has no idea what's in the next future in 1995 until he meets Brie Larson's character. He doesn't know about Tony Stark, because at this point, Tony Stark hasn't yet become Iron Man. He doesn't know about all these other, even some
Hulk.
He doesn't know about any of that stuff, because it hasn't really come to fruition. You know, they've been out there. Like Captain America, for example, was, you know, dates back to World War II, but that was a secret government project, so he didn't know about that, you know? So it's kind of a cool origin story. I love the two of them together. I will say this about Captain Marvel. I think it's terrific. I think Brie Larson is wonderful as this definite. It's definitely a girl power movie, and there's some messaging sometimes like, okay, we get it. But that's okay. I don't mind that. I'm giving it 3.5 stars.
Ooh.
It's got terrific action sequences. But to me, you know, when they have those outer space battles, we've seen them in a million movies ever since Star Wars and going back to Buck Rogers, right? The technology is great. To me, the fun stuff is when she's on the planet Earth trying to figure out her origin story, figuring out her superpowers. And it's in the 90s, so we're hearing all kinds of, like, 90s songs, and there's references to Fresh Prince and, you know, that kind of thing. So if you're a 90s kid,
perfect,
or someone who remembers the 90s, it's really neat to see her kind of working within that. So, for example, at one point when they're trying to figure out who someone is, they're like, oh, we could use a computer, and they go on Alta Vista as their search engine. Or at one time they put up, there's a secret disk, because there's always a secret program or something, right, in these movies, and they put it in the little tray. Remember the little tray in your computer, and you slide it in? And then it's just like nothing happens, and they're all just looking at the computer. And finally, Brie Larson's like, what are we doing now? And they're like, it's loading. And she's like, because she comes from this technologically advanced world. She's like, what? Yeah, we have to wait until that blue bar goes all the way across the screen. Then we'll be able to hear what's on the program. So I love all those little touches.
It, you know,
that sounds fun.
It just totally aimed at the millennial.
Yes.
Right? That's the whole idea.
I think so. And, you know, as always, you know, people say, oh, there's some politics. Yeah, there's some politics. There's politics basically in every movie that's ever made. There's usually some sort of political statement in there. So you have one race of people. They're refugees just trying to get their way home. Again, we see this in almost every outer space movie, just like we see in any place else. There's an oppressed people. There's an oppressive ruler. You could say it's indicative of the Trump administration. You could say it's indicative of Stalin. You could say it's indicative of Nero. I mean, Right. It's always about the oppressive ruler
Right. And
the noble warriors. And every once in a while, you think someone who's the good guy might really end up being the bad guy or the other way around. Right. All of that stuff we've seen in a million movies. To me, the fun is all the kind of pop culture stuff.
Was Saving Private Ryan about the Trump administration? No, it was not.
Yeah.
Right? And as we always point out, because from our financial analyst, Susie Sunshine, who somehow was assigned to something in Pakistan, which we did not figure out.
Wow.
We can't figure that out.
She actually went to go see the Star Wars reboot a couple years ago
in a
small town in Pakistan in a theater.
Right.
And they held a big town. And they held seats open for the Taliban. Arrive from across the Afghan border.
Oh, wow.
Taliban leadership was in the theater.
I have a plus one. Does each one get a plus one?
Is it plus five?
That's crazy.
And they were roped off, and they brought in their weapons. And I mean, it's a little different in Pakistan than it is here. And they applauded at the exact same parts of the movie that everybody else did.
This is why they keep making superhero movies. They're universally understandable, right? And
exactly.
entertaining.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. There are long moments where there are no subtitles. You can play it in China, you know, you get what's happening. Now, in this particular case, there might be some references that are a little American. But again, even then, people, you know, around the world know what technology was like in the mid-90s. They know what, you know, different songs were from the 90s. When you hear Come As You Are by Nirvana in this movie, people are going to cheer. It's awesome. Aww. And of course, when you're Disney Marvel, you can afford to get the original songs, too. You could say to whoever, you know, Jimmy Blockbuster, hey, we'll pay you for the rights to use Blockbuster's logo.
I think you go to a bankruptcy court and get the okay on that.
$5.
What is Brie Larson like as a superhero? This was, I think, one of the things that the fanboys were most worried about. And there are a lot of people, because Brie Larson is like she has been in a lot of quiet, dramatic roles.
She won the Academy Award for Room, where she played the single mom and her son. They were kidnapped. And yeah, she's not a physically imposing person. I kind of like that. I'm sure she did some training, but I kind of like that she didn't get all bulked up and muscled up and all that stuff. She looks like a normal person, because the whole idea is she gets her powers from, you know, this sort of, you know, supernatural, you know, electromagnetic gizmo type happening. So she doesn't need to have big muscles. When she clenches her fists, fireballs come out of them. So you don't really need to do push-ups, among other things. She keeps learning along the way about the extent of her powers, which is always fun. Like, I wonder if maybe if I jump out this window, will I land on the ground or will I suddenly fly? You know? And her blood is blue, by the way. Not because she comes from elite society, but that she has blue blood.
Interesting. So her performance you like?
I think she's terrific, yeah. And because she is playing somebody who, as a young girl coming up in America, was told again and again, you can't be a dirt bike racer, you can't be a high school athlete, you can't be a soldier, you'll never fly planes, as a lot of women to this day, but especially coming up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, were told. So now, of course, she has superpowers, and no one's going to ever tell her again what she cannot do.
Samuel Jackson and the rest of the cast, how?
Yeah, that's great. Oh, I got to talk about this really quickly, too. So Samuel L. Jackson is 70 years old, right?
Jeez.
In the movie, it's set in 1995, so he's 40 years old, essentially. They have a de-aging process that they've used a few other times. Started with Benjamin Button. They did it with Michael Douglas in Ant-Man. They did it with Kurt Russell. But it's amazing now, because he looks like he's 40 years old. But it's really him in the role. They don't have like some sort of motion capture
thing.
It's a magical digital thing. Part of it is they go back to movies they did at the time and they get facial expressions, which is crazy. Like in 1995, did a movie called The Negotiator here in Chicago, and they use some of that facial recognition. Then they do find people that are the exact same, have sort of similar facial expressions, and then do all kinds of magic. There's not one moment where you go, oh, this is weird. He looks like he's been like varnished or some sort of soft focus. You just see him as a 40-year-old Samuel L. Jackson.
Is that what they do to Tom Cruise in all his movies? Because he always looks the same.
Yes, that, he did that in life.
Joel,
Hannah is right.
Get off the babysitter.
There are some people where you're like, yeah, what is, how, what?
They, yeah.
Paul Rudd, the guy that plays Ant-Man. Everybody, when they saw him at the Oscars, were like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing.
All right.
How well that works, too. So that's
I'm
how
excited
he can
about this
time.
One. And I don't get excited about these types of movies. I like this one.
Brie Larson, I've loved her in everything she's ever done.
Me, too.
And now, and I was one of those people. I'm not, I don't go on the internet and I don't troll. I refuse to do it. But the idea that people just were mad at her for being the person. I was among those who were like, I don't know, how's that going to work?
Mm.
But let's give it a shot, because it is Marvel. They don't make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
Marvel does almost everything right, I think. Even the television stuff that they do, I think is really good.
Really good, yeah.
So this is an opportunity for, you know, to sort of do a little bit of a risk, because they want the payoff of that. They want to be able to prove that an Academy Award winning actor.
Yes.
Can, although they've had other Academy Award winning
That's
actors,
true. But
right?
And also the fact that, you know, I think Wonder Woman made it a lot easier for this movie to get made and get that kind of a budget from a couple of years ago, because it did so well. So it's not like, even with some of the sniping going on, it's going to make $110 million this weekend. It's not going to bomb.
Yeah.
Does it go deep in the Marvel universe? Are those people satisfied with
Very
all the
much
connectivities?
So. And, you know, there's new, the Avengers coming up, as always, they kind of leave you like going, oh, this is how this ties in.
So are there Easter eggs?
Absolutely, yeah. You got to stick around after the movie ends, so to speak. But there's always that post credit.
But even inside?
Yes.
Ooh.
All of a sudden you see another person show up?
Maybe.
You see a young Tony Stark twisting
Not
his
saying
ankle.
Anymore.
Oh,
not
you
saying
got him.
Anymore. Not
but you don't
anymore.
Have to see another movie, although any other movies.
No, I think in all these movies, if you don't, it's sort of like if you jump into Game of Thrones Season 4, it's still cool to see the Khaleesi and the dragons, and there's a lot of fighting going on. You might not know who everybody is, but you can still go with it. I think any of the Marvel movies, you can pretty much get what's going on.
Yeah, because they do a nice job. They do. It's the soap opera trick of writing a way to reintroduce them and put them in context. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Thank you.
There you have it.
All right. To 3.5 stars.
Yes, sir. Yes,
for Captain Marvel.
Ooh. Coming to theaters God bless in her. Like less than 24 hours. A Wednesday opening for Captain Marvel.
Thank you, Richard.
Sure.
Stick around, Richard.
Okay.
Because R. Kelly has spoken.
Oh, gosh.
And we have the tape.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Wait till you hear this.
Okay.
First, Kim Gordon's got the news at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Roe, we continue to follow this hit-and-run situation on the Southwest side.
All right, coming up, R. Kelly has got his thoughts, and he shared them with the CBS Morning Show.
Gayle King, big sit-down.
Apparently here in Chicago.
Here in Chicago.
We have some of the tape. I think you're not going to believe it.
Oh, man.
It's some of the things he says.
Really incredible.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We will do all of that for you, whether you like it or not. Let's just be honest. And that comes your way after Kim's News in 2 minutes.
Tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes. Girl, you look so sexy. Why you doing a damn thing that I want sex in the kitchen?
Oh, it gets worse every time. It
really does.
There's your R. Kelly.
There's your butter roll.
Don't ever, you know, don't at Thanksgiving, never have the butter rolls at R. Kelly's.
Oh, man.
Got to cut out the carbs anyway.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Keto friendly.
That's what I always say.
Oh, jeez.
I got to say, though, R. Kelly. R. Kelly looks, now that he's going to McDonald's and he's smoking the cigars, R. Kelly's going to morph into, like, Refrigerator Perry before this is done.
Sherman Klump.
I think so.
Hercules.
He's got that. Where's the sunglasses? He looks really cool in the sunglasses. He takes his sunglasses off. He goes, where's his eyes? What happened? They're like, they're all gone in there. All right. Now, R. Kelly, this is all new to me, like all of R. Kelly's girlfriends. This is all new to me.
Yikes.
I've not heard this yet, but I'm told it's very mind-bending.
Mm-hmm.
R. Kelly sat down with Gayle King Seems a little old for him. She, they did the interview, I guess, here in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've just released some teaser video.
Right. It's going to air tomorrow on the CBS Morning News.
Right.
Well, King with the scoop.
How about that?
Maybe he was hoping to get Oprah's number and get a couple of mil.
Yeah.
At least some, well, maybe some cash.
Although Oprah has, you know, she broke bad on Michael Jackson.
Yeah. She did.
I don't think this is going to go well for R. Kelly.
Well, she was being accused of being too protective of him in retrospect and came out very firmly against that.
Of Jackson. Michael Jackson, yeah.
Okay. So Gail King came to Chicago.
Yes.
We now know this.
Yes.
And had to sit down with him in a studio. Not in the jail.
They're
in the studio, right?
They look like they're it's indoors. It's hard to tell.
He had a nice suit on.
Yeah, no, he's out. He's out on bail.
Right, but so this just happened, though. This wasn't like a week ago or anything.
It's good. He's just, you know, he's been freshened up. They're using that same technology you just described
in the movies.
To make Samuel Jackson look like he's 40 years old in Captain Marvel. But here is R. Kelly and Gayle King.
They are still talking about you with underage girls. Mm-hmm. Do you still sit here and say you have never been with underage girls? Can you really say that?
I sit here and say this. I had two cases back then that I said in the beginning of the interview that I would not talk about because of my ongoing case now.
Okay.
Fair enough. But
okay.
I will tell you this. People are going back to my past, okay? That's exactly what they're doing. They're going back to the past, and they're trying to add all of this stuff now to that, to make all of the stuff that's going on now feels real to people.
Well, that's not exactly a blanket denial.
Doesn't sound like one. And the reason they are is because you have a number of women who have come forward who are adding to that story.
It's right, not from the past.
From the past.
Yeah.
And the past, actually, in the case currently that they're looking at against him is 1998 to 2010.
That was in the past.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Certainly was.
It was in the past.
Yeah.
See, you cannot... R. Kelly's making the argument, and he needs Mike Monaco here.
Is there a statute of limitations?
He's making the argument. No, not in this case. He's making the argument that if it happened in the past, it's not a crime. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear that argument made in other quarters in America before this is all said and done. And here we go. Here's more.
But the past is relevant with you with underage girls.
Absolutely, no, it's not.
Why?
Because, for one, I beat my case. When you beat something, you beat it.
You were acquitted.
We can't double jeopardy me like that. You can't. It's not fair. It's not fair to nobody. When you beat your case, you beat your case.
But I'm not talking about the one case in which you were acquitted. I'm talking about the other cases where women have come forward and said, R. Kelly had sex with me when I was under the age of 18. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly was abusive to me emotionally and physically and verbally.
Okay.
R. Kelly took me in a black room where unspeakable things happened. This is what they're saying about you. These aren't old rumors.
Not true. Whether they're old rumors, new rumors,
why would they
future
say this
rumors,
about you?
Not true.
You know, again, when a guy says, I beat my case,
yes,
it never
not encouraging.
Imbues the listener with a sense of innocence.
Yeah.
I beat my case. Well, okay, yeah, but this is a different case.
Yeah, he seems to think that if you were acquitted, as she points out, you were found not guilty, not found innocent, but found not guilty.
Right.
You can never be tried for anything ever again.
And if you are innocent, do you say, I beat my case?
Yeah, that's all he's saying. He's not saying that what Gayle King is. I think she's doing a good job. She's specifically saying, "Is this true?" And he doesn't say it's not true. I was never with anybody under 18. He's not saying that because he married somebody who was under 18. So it's hard for him to say
under 17. Yeah. How old was Aaliyah when they got married? Somebody looked that up.
And then she wrote her first album under him was called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. Remember?
Mm-hmm. All right, wait. We have one more piece of R. Kelly here. Here we go.
15.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that you have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. Why would I?
Well, I'm
how stupid would it
never
be
held
for
anybody.
R. Kelly, with all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. How stupid would I be to do that?
I didn't say you were holding...
That's stupid, guys! Is this camera on me?
Yes, it's on.
That's stupid! Use your common sense. Don't Forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, oh, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle. Robert, stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life.
I'd check his basement right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Very specific details.
And sometimes people tell you who they are, don't they?
Well, first of all, you know, the how stupid would I be? That's like, well, how? Come on. Robert Kraft is worth $6.5 billion. Why would, you know, that's always the thing. And, you know, he would never do that.
Yeah, file under things that should have never happened, this interview.
Yeah, yes. This is not. That's a great point. He's not helping his case. And to the point of whether he did it or not, we have a legal system. But in past cases where young girls have been held against their will. Remember, there was the famous case in Ohio with the three girls. There was a case in Utah. In many instances, they'll be out and about, but they have been so traumatized, and they are so they're suffering so much from the abuse that they don't run to anybody when he lets them out of the house because there's so much under his control. So just because if you're holding somebody against their will and then you're out in public and they don't go running across the street doesn't mean it didn't happen. We've seen that time and again. Where
and if they're underage, they have no business being there in the first place.
Yeah, but, you know, and in some cases where the victims were finally rescued and they're asked about that, they're saying, you don't understand. I was told if I ran away, my whole family would die. I was told if I ran away, this was going to happen. It never occurred to me to try to get away from him because they're completely under the control of somebody who is a monster. So the how stupid would I be defense, you know, the answer would be really stupid. Now let's move on with the facts.
Michael Avenatti tweets, of course, he's the one who brought forth a new alleged videotape showing him with an underage girl and another, a third one that he allegedly has as well. He says, R. Kelly's tears are out of fear and despair because he knows that after over two decades of sexually abusing underage girls, we blew this wide open and have him and his enablers dead to rights. Justice.
There's footage in the Lifetime documentary in which he approaches an underage girl at outside the trial that was taking place.
Right, and that actually...
So how stupid would you have to be to do that?
She may be one of the people who is central to this new case, that there is one girl who met him after he was acquitted and saved a dress with his DNA on it that prosecutors have now definitively connected to him.
I want to go back to the notion of this was in my past. He keeps talking about his past. So is he acknowledging that he had this problem in his past? Because if he's acknowledging he had this problem in his past, why is it not in his present?
No, he's not acknowledging anything.
What is he, when he says, they're all talking about my past, what is he talking about?
The trial where he was acquitted. That's all my past. But that all happened then, and it was already proven that I'm okay. I didn't do these things.
Can we go back to the first cut, just the top of the first cut, Brian? Because he talks about Tukey. There's certain things he doesn't want to talk about. Because I think this is a reference here to something that maybe there's other cases he's kind of acknowledging, but he doesn't want to talk about because there were civil judgments.
They are still talking about you with underage girls. Do you still sit here and say you have never been with underage girls? Can you really say that?
I sit here and say this. I had two cases back then that I said in the beginning of the interview that I would not talk about because of my ongoing case now.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough. But
okay. Stop it right there. All right.
He doesn't deny it, is what
you're saying. Right. He's saying that he's got two cases he doesn't want to talk about because then if we talk about that, then we're going to think that he's molesting kids and then that's going to come up now.
This is so disturbing.
All right. Hold on 1 second. We've got, should I take a break or should I stay right here? Hold on 1 second. All right, because Michael Avenatti, I think, is going to join us here to give us his reaction to this. Because this is a moment where, to Jen's point, Jen has made the best point of the day, maybe the week, perhaps the month, that this is R. Kelly should not have done this interview.
Hour and 20 minutes altogether.
Yeah. What?
And how much are they going to use?
Hour and 19 and a half minutes if I were CBS.
And I'd be curious to see what Michael Avenatti says about how this could be used against him.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should do it on Sunday night on this edition of 119 Minutes.
There you go.
All right. Evan and I is going to join us on the other side of this. Let's check in right now. Andrea, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Well, Roe, Mayor Emanuel has a political commercial out.
All right. Coming up, the news that matters with Andrea Darlos from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Michael Avenatti joins us right now. We played just for you a few seconds ago the tape of the R. Kelly's interview with Gayle King. It's going to air tomorrow morning on the CBS Morning Show. And I know you've already commented publicly, Michael, about some of this. It's kind of startling because in this tape, at least what we've seen so far from CBS, he does not deny any of this. He does reference some cases from before, but he's denying. What is your reaction to what you've seen?
Well, I mean, he said that he had sex with underage girls. I mean, he basically fails to understand that that happened, quote, a long time ago, close quote. And he clearly does not understand how I noticed, you know, again, I haven't seen the entire interview. It's going to be here. I thought it was very damaging, his answer that he gave, at least from what I saw. And I thought his tears are driven by fear and despair. And the reason why that is because he knows that after over two decades of sexually assaulting young girls.
Yep, unfortunately, the.
Right.
Michael, hold on one second. We're going to try to hold on one second for us so we can see if we can actually fix the cell phone here very quickly.
One of the other things he mentions in this interview that's getting a lot of traction in the teaser, because the interview is actually airing tomorrow, is you can't double jeopardy me like that. And you heard Steve Greenberg, his attorney, say that multiple times. This is just double jeopardy. And I want to get Avenatti's take when we get back. Because
yes, we've got him back now. What about this double jeopardy thing? You can't double jeopardy me like that, is what he said. And that his attorney's also said that.
Look, he may be a very accomplished singer and musical artist, but he doesn't know anything about the law, because that's not how double jeopardy works. He was not charged with the same acts or crimes stemming from the same acts back in 2002, and the trial was in 2008. He doesn't understand how double jeopardy works. He just simply doesn't understand it. He also thinks that somehow, because this supposedly took place a long time ago, that he cannot face these charges. I mean, this man is dead to rights. We've got him and his enabler dead to rights, and he's going to die in a prison, as he rightfully should.
All right, Michael Avenatti, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
All right. It is startling.
It is.
In this piece of audio from R. Kelly, just released by CBS. It's going to the full interview. We'll start airing tomorrow morning on the CBS Morning News. I'm assuming they're going to let a lot of it out over online in addition to that.
That's
but it is
a good point, too, because you wonder, okay, even if they air 15 minutes of it, if there's an hour and 20 minutes, do they stream it? And then, because obviously CBS isn't just going to willingly hand over every single bit of information, but prosecution's going to want as much of that video / audio as they can possibly have, right? And
right.
If it's streaming, then it's out there.
Yeah. And you wonder, was the idea to get sympathy? Was the idea to go out there and tell your side of the story? I mean, it just feels as if this is going to work exactly the opposite.
Well, when he says you can't double jeopardy me and other things happened in the past, that has nothing to do with what's happening now. Well, mm-hmm. All these cases are from the past.
Yeah. I mean,
and God knows what's happening now. And we haven't gotten there yet.
No.
So I would say that Mr. Greenberg might want to get some co-counsel. Because I think it's going to be a very busy time at the law offices over there.
Oh.
I would agree.
I wouldn't be surprised if CBS ends up putting the entire hour and 20 minutes online. Knowing, first of all, just, hey, this is the entire interview. But also, you know, from a business standpoint, they know a lot of people are going to want to see the whole thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. We've got, we'll check in what's happening after this very radio program. After